Blog Talk Radio.
Man, we dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're rooting, and we want that fight to land on the line.
Boxing fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday night. Hope everybody's doing okay. The weather is dreary, rainy, kind of like Portland and Seattle right now. But hey, supposed to warm up and supposed to hit 80s this weekend. Anyway, just a little catch up with Minnesota weather there. We got a lot to talk about on the show today. You know, last week and on paper, it seemed like, hey, there might be some interesting fights. Navarrete and Diaz will probably be competitive. Let's see if Berlanga can go some rounds, which he did, the full rounds, at least, you know, not a 12-round. There was a couple of, like, undercard fights, like Josue Vargas looked pretty damn good. What was that other undercard fight that was really good? Why am I just completely losing it? Adorno. That's Adorno and Ortiz. Like, there was some low-key. Felix Cash took care of business very early. Like I said, there wasn't a lot of big fights this weekend, but we actually had a fun weekend, much like the weekend before, where you didn't really think, that's not really even a 50-50 fight, I'm not really interested. And then it turned out to be really, really good. That Fox card was really good 2 weeks ago. Now this ESPN, not just the doubleheader, but the whole card, ESPN Plus as well, was very, very good. So we're going to start with some recap, no doubt about it. Also, we're going to preview this weekend. We got two heavyweight fights coming up with some undercard action. Parker and Chisora are fighting on the Zone or Sky Sports pay-per-view box office in the UK. Natasha Jonas and Katie Taylor are having a rematch fight now in the professional ranks. Of course, they faced each other in the amateurs, but that should be a pretty good fight. I think Dimitra Bivol, a couple other fighters are on that card, kind of in one-sided fights. But Ruiz Areola is on a Fox pay-per-view here. The undercard, I really like the undercard as far as a main event pay-per-view. It's not one where I, like, sell it like, oh, dude, this is a great fight on a main event on pay-per-view. Now, if this was Luis Ortiz and Andy Ruiz, with this type of undercard that's going to be action-packed, I would be saying, hey, this is a really, really good card. But we'll see how it, we'll see how it breaks down. A lot of people are kind of on the, you know, on the fence. Should I get it? Should I not? Sometimes it's up to, like, hey, if your buddy likes Ruiz, you're probably going to get it, that type of thing. If you're going to watch it all by yourself, which I've done that to plenty of fight cards and even some, pay-per-views. That's where a lot of people are on the fence. So we'll definitely preview and predict the weekend. There is a fair amount of news to get into. We found out recently Pacquiao and Crawford is off the table. Not that the deal's off or whatever, you know, it never really was official. So, you know, the deal's off the table. I guess the money fell through, which isn't the craziest thing when it comes to dealing with, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Did the money fall through? Because now we hear Mikey Garcia might get the fight. There was people reporting him and Spence are deep in the negotiations and all that. I've always kind of felt like it was going to be Mikey Garcia. The Ryan Garcia kind of felt real. I never fully believed the Crawford just because of Bob Arum, fool me once type shit. Boy, that cried wolf, although he's a full-grown man. I'm not trying to disrespect him that way. But, and, you know, Pacquiao had a chance to fight Spence, you know, so I just, if it wasn't going to happen, I just never really saw that happening. We did hear some talk about Mikey, and this is before the pandemic, but Mikey and Pac, and then Spence Porter, and then the winners meet or something like that. We definitely heard some of that, but right now my guess is that it's going to be Mikey Garcia, and there is a tad bit of update from someone inside of Pacquiao's team, and we know he's got a big team. Some folks in his team are legit, and you should, you know, listen to what they're saying. Other folks in Pacquiao's team, it's just like, well, they're not really in the team anymore, but the media will just listen to whatever the hell they say. So we'll give you a little bit of update there. Ryan Garcia pulled out of his fight in July with Javier Fortuna. Stating health and well-being. A lot of people are saying it's mental health, that he's having some issues that he wants to get figured out, and he needs to take some time off. Some people are saying that maybe he's getting ahead of something, that we're going to hear some news about. I really don't know. I know he's been heavy on a religious kick lately. I don't know if he has been even more, you know, it seems like he's been into that this last month or so, and sometimes that's a natural thing. Sometimes you mess up and you use, you know, religion or, you know, resources, other resources you have around you, your family, your friends, clinical stuff. I mean, we haven't heard that he checked into a hospital or mental hospital or anything like that. We did see, that it seems like he's on vacation, so maybe he just needed to shut down for a little bit. It's kind of wishy-washy. I'll give my take on it. I mean, you know, I get that, you know, if he's admitting he has mental health issues, that's, I get it. And he needs to just shut down, like I said, and kind of, you know, get away from the world for a while and get his stuff together. That's cool. But you just don't know. You know, I mean, he could, technically, if you look at when his fight is, he could take a week or two and just unwind and then start camp and still fight. So I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest with you. It's tough to say. A lot of people are just chalking it up to mental health, and I understand why they're saying that, but I don't know. It's tough, man. I can't really go too deep into it, though, because you just don't know. You know what I mean? You just don't know. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about, sounds like Eddie Hearn in Matchroom, is moving his Matchroom to DAZN, leaving Sky Sports. That's what people are saying in July or August, when that Sky Sports, I think it's July, when the Sky Sports deal is up. Speaking of Eddie Hearn, Bob Arum recently talked to, I think, Dan Raphael, on Boxing Scene. There was an article about radio silence, that he actually hasn't heard much in a week, and we know there was a month, there's a month negotiation period again, and if you couldn't get it done, we're going to move on, and, you know, there's like the third or fourth draft of a contract, but he hasn't really seen a contract, but all these numbers are getting released, but there's no proof yet of the funds or whatever, not that they wouldn't have funds coming in for this one, but I don't know. It's just a lot of talk and not a lot of action. Now, when there's action behind closed doors, that's different, but the folks don't see that, you know, and when you hear one side saying, we haven't really gotten to look at anything to even try to sign something, they have agreed like three or four different times. So it's funky, but I really do wish, though, that Eddie would just shut up and just shut up. Like, we get it. A month ago, ESPN was saying the fight's done. I've had some casual fans say, hey, when is that fight? And I tell them, you know, I told them then, like, it's not over yet, dude. It's not a done deal. It's still got some stuff to work out and yada, yada, yada. So you get these casual boxing fans mad and you know, you piss them off. And they're just, a lot of people think boxing sucks right now because of a handful of these major fights are either not signed yet or aren't going to happen for a little bit. And, you know, I get that, especially the casual fan base. You know, you get them excited. I mean, they've been talking about this shit since last summer. Eddie Hearn's quick to, like, say, hey, you know, I saw that quote just today, no more shit fights. Well, why don't you just make fights? Like, why do you have to always be talking about other people? Like, I'm so disappointed in Andre and Charlo. Why Charlo's not fighting Andre? It's like, dog, come on, man. Like, just make the fight and at some point shut up. I get that you want to string it along and keep people updated, but in the same breath you're saying, well, I'm not going to give you details. But then you, every fourth day, you give a weird detail. So it's just frustrating people. I still believe this fight will happen this year, whether it's the summer, whether it's August, whether it's in the fall. We don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of back and forth. You hear Tyson Fury saying, oh, you know, that month is gone now, by the way. But so they had to have been assured something, that was something was happening. But, you know, it just, I still think it's going to happen this year. I don't know for a fact that it's going to happen this summer, but yeah, it's really stringing folks along to the point where it's like, all right, dude, just announce it when it's done. You know, none of this dragging shit out, because this is like a big turnoff here. Maybe that works in the UK a lot, but a lot of people, my casual fight fans, or, you know, people that I talk to or message me or friends or whatever, they're just kind of like, what the fuck, dude? What's going on? Why isn't that announced? This, that, and the other. And so it is what it is. It is what it is. Triller actually filed a lawsuit. We'll go over some of the details with that. They claim that they're missing I think it's $100 million lawsuit for streaming. I think they said like 2 million people streamed it, and they're losing out on that. It's like, well, if they're streaming it, dude, you can't really say you're losing out on it. Because if they're streaming it, they probably weren't going to buy it. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. Welcome to the stream game, right? So, yeah, there's a variety of things to speak about. Of course, we have some more current fight news to talk about. There's already some talks about where Navarrete is going to go. Oscar Diaz has an opponent, it sounds like. Kind of out of left field. I guess, you know, when you get a big fight and you score a knockout and you get a championship belt or whatever, you know, there is a tendency to take maybe a mandatory. Sometimes that's written into the fight. Someone had to step aside and you have to face the winner type thing. Or, you know, sometimes it's just like, hey, we'll get you an easy mando at your hometown. Then we'll look for another big fight. But it did seem like Oscar Diaz was going to fight someone, because Diaz fought this weekend. Valdez. I don't know if I said that originally. I didn't mean that. But it did seem like Valdez and Jamal Herring were going to fight, because Stevenson, you know, was the mando there, and he felt he could make more money, and I don't know. So it's kind of, I don't know. But we do have current fight news. Of course, we have our boxing Twitter segment where we go over just, you know, some of the best tweets of the week, or some of the just fanboy-type tweets, or media members acting like fanboys. We definitely like to cover that. So we do have a bunch to discuss here. Before we get to it, though, if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on Blog Talk, blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropadope and download the show directly there, or listen to the browser if you don't want to. You can find the platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost anywhere. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's boxing, football, basketball, baseball, everything in between. You can follow the show here on Twitter at Ropadope Radio. One more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. The cloud DVR is available. And if you sign up and upgrade for the choice package, that'll give you a free year of HBO Max. And for a limited time, the NBA League Pass Premium. That's a limited time. That's AT&T TV. Okay. You know, kind of heading into some of this weekend. It was a busy weekend, man. If you back it up to Tuesday, Thursday, fights on the weekend, and there was actually a lot to talk about, no doubt about it. It was nice to see Berlanga, you know, finally go rounds. I did like how it worked with the UFC prelims where they had him basically walking to the ring. I think that was really dope, and that actually was the highest peak there of that card was Berlanga and the knockout. Now, you know, or not the knockout, but, you know, him fighting Desmond Nicholson. But, you know, some of the breakdown of first-round fights and or knockouts, I should say, and how many seconds. I mean, they – like, I get you're going to talk about it. I get you're going to cover that. I mean, obviously, right? But, man, it was like, dude, like, I thought they went a little overboard there, like, to say it so many times, and then especially not to get one, you know? So you're kind of setting them up, saying all this stuff, and then he went eight rounds. You know, he did a – it did, I don't know. What it didn't look like he was really trying Berlanga for the knockout early, which I did kind of like, especially first round early. There was some back and forth in the second round. I think it was a left hand in an exchange that dropped him. Berlanga, you know, looked pretty good at that point. A couple more clean shots and whatever. There was another knockdown. It was more like a grazing shot, or did it even graze? It was kind of like a push pull. It really wasn't a knockdown, but you know, he didn't lose another round after that. I think there was another one. It was a really bad call, ruled a knockdown in the fifth round. But yeah, Berlanga just pretty much dominated. His chopping left hooks had Nicholson's legs look really shaky. I will say this: in the seventh and eighth rounds, we did kind of see him tire out a little bit. And he was getting hit with some clean shots, especially on the inside. I mean, he gets hit with clean shots. Let's not act like that doesn't happen. But what was it? Another, was it a right hand and some body work that he dropped him again, right? Yeah, that's right. It was a clean right hand, dropped him again in the eighth round. So it would, like I said, got to see more of Berlanga. You can't just put him up too high and then all of a sudden, he's going to be screwed against a quality fighter late in the fight. He's got to go through this. And so the eight rounds I thought were really key. I'm not saying that we found out a bunch more about him, whether it's positive or negative, but I'm just glad that he got rounds. Let's see where he goes from there. Navarrete and Diaz was one of those fights where Navarrete won almost every single round. I gave Diaz the second. I gave him the sixth, but and Christopher Diaz fought pretty well. There was, you know, there was battles inside of the rounds, you know, but it was pretty clean for Navarrete. He was circling really well with his jab, landed, of course, these uppercuts. That faint right hand left uppercut that scored the knockdown, like later in that fourth round, that was pretty nasty. Yeah, I mean, he scored another couple knockdowns, right, in the seventh. Combinations, another uppercut, and then they're like a flurry on the ropes. There was a point deducted. There was plenty of good two-way action, though. That's what I did like about it. and then basically some shots early. Navrete actually was on the ropes early and mid in the 12th round randomly, but I think two or three right hands and a left hook. You know, I think it was the left hook that dropped him, and then basically the corner threw the tall one. So Navarrete, you know, he's got this awkward style. This one, he wasn't as aggressive. He was circling more. He was standing on the outside minorly, still well within the pocket. I do like his style, though. He's starting to show me a little bit more, being a little less aggressive as far as going forward, but still having a good work rate, you know. And I mean, some of these punches that land so far away, you just think, I don't know, dude. And like I said, his chopping left hook, even like Berlanga's chopping left hook, is like, really, dude? I don't know. It looks hard. It's landing hard, but it doesn't – I don't know. It doesn't know – I don't know if you're going to get caught when you throw that punch or – but Navarrete keeps adding to, you know, his fight. So, you know, his next couple opponents doesn't really look like it's going to be much in it, but we don't know that for a fact. You know, they're talking about going to Australia. I think that's going to be later in the year, but we'll see. But he looked good, and Christopher Diaz made a good, you know, account for himself and whatnot. Josue Vargas looked good against Willie Shaw. Couple of close rounds in there, but he looked damn good. He looked good in that one. I mean, seemed like Vargas buzzed him early, but he looked good in that one. Felix Cash actually pretty much destroyed, what was it, Denzel Bentley, I think it is, on BT Sport. I mean, he stumbled him with a left hook really early in that fight. You saw Bentley land some decent shots off the rope. He had the second round was a little bit more competitive, but, you know, because he was jabbing and moving Bentley. Couple of overhand rights and jabs for Cash, too. But midway through the third, it was a hard right hand and another one and another one, and it scored the KO. He was sitting on the ropes. Bentley had a little argument there, but he looked like he was actually pretty much out on that one. I'd say the best fight on that, Dorno and Ortiz. Both prospects, both, I think, 14-0. Actually, I think Adorno has a draw in there. But right off the bat, it was just a fun fight to start with. A left hook clipped him, clipped Ortiz. There was a knockdown. I think it was a left hand that kind of on the back of the head, behind the ear type thing. And then you saw Ortiz. They'll kind of open up his offense, and I thought Ortiz won the third, fifth, and sixth, and then you see Adorno with a steady jab and more left hands to the body. I gave him the fourth. Of course, you give him the seventh because he scored a knockdown as a left uppercut, knocked him into the ropes, a beautiful left counter uppercut, too. But, you know, Ortiz even responded in that round with his own uppercut, so he fought hard. I thought he won the eighth. So a back-and-forth fight, 4-4, 5-3. Some people actually thought Ortiz won the round 5-3. You know, some thought it was 5-3 the other way. I was right in the 4-4 range. Maybe Ortiz won more rounds. But the two knockdowns are what did it. 76-74 was my scorecard, I think, in the end. But 76-74, and there was a draw, two scorecards out at 75-75, and I was okay with that, but that was a fun fight, you know. So, like, just on that ESPN card alone, you know, from the doubleheader and then the undercard fights on ESPN Plus, I got to say, like, since ESPN and Top Rank came together, as far as fight cards, yeah, I know that the top two weren't that competitive, but they were still good fights to watch. Berlanga was still – you were still learning stuff about him, actually getting past the first round. But overall, action, some drama back and forth, I thought that – I was okay with that. you know, draw. I thought it was one of their best cards that they've done top to bottom. And like I said, I wasn't really too excited going into this weekend. I thought there might be some interest. I thought, you know, Navarrete and Diaz would be good, and Adorno, Ortiz. I heard a lot of people talking about that. On the low, though, it was more of a low-key talk, but the hardcores were talking about that. But it was very good. I was very, very happy, you know, with what I saw. And we had, you know, some performances earlier in the week, too, that we'll discuss. I'm going to go ahead and bring in John. Oops. My switchboard just, okay, we're good. Switchboard totally froze there, but it's all good. I'm going to go ahead and bring in a great boxing mind, John, and talk about what took place over the weekend. And then also we'll look into this weekend. Chisora Parker, Ruiz Areola. There's some similarities there with Parker and Ruiz, more in, you know, still in their prime or whatever. And Chisora and Areola definitely past their prime. We'll talk about what, you know, what's going to go on this weekend and preview some of that. I'm going to go ahead and bring in John. Now, what's going on, John? How you doing, man?
Hey, Chris. Great to be here tonight. Glad my appearance was so anticipated I was able to stop the switchboard for a little while there.
Yeah, I know, right? It almost shut down the show. All right. So, you know, this weekend was a pretty entertaining fight weekend. You know, last weekend was a little, we definitely got more out of that Fox card than it looked like we were going to on paper. And here, I liked what I saw. Why don't we start with Berlanga? We'll go the main event after that, Navarrete and Diaz and whatnot. But Berlanga, not just getting past the first round, but going the full distance. Some people are like, oh, see, dude, I told you he wasn't that powerful. He got exposed. Some folks are like, hey, he needs those rounds. He got his second wind. He still needs to sharpen up his defense. Where are you at with that performance? And either way, I mean, just getting rounds is what he really needs.
Well, yeah, first, just for one minute, I want to say, Chris, that, yeah, I was pleasantly shocked about how good the ESPN and ESPN Plus card from top to bottom, something that was looking like it was going to be just kind of an off weekend for boxing. That card from top to bottom just had so much action and people on both sides of the fights, no matter what the outcomes turned out to be, trying to fight, that it was just a great night of boxing that was totally unexpected for me. But getting to Berlanga, going in with what was good is, as you mentioned earlier, you know, with the first round knockout streak, and this guy from New York, you know, Puerto Rican, born in Brooklyn. He had, you know, developed a following already when we haven't seen that as much in boxing like we used to. So that led to some good anticipation going in. And like you said also, I always like to see if we're trying to showcase somebody who really has built up a name or some following, I mean, getting right to the fight so people don't tune out. And they did that. And it's even more important because on the East, you've got the fight starting at 10, which frankly to me is too late already. Even in that situation, you'd rather see Berlanga coming right on at, say, 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, not 10 o'clock in the East. So that takes a little away. But with the fight itself, as you mentioned earlier, again, I agree. And I thought that was a little odd because that Berlanga, you know, he had always been going for those first-round KOs. And, yeah, you talk about getting rounds and stuff, but this guy has built such a following and was getting such attention. There was a big New York Post spread on him earlier in the day about the one-round KO streak. I thought with that kind of audience turning in, I thought you still go for it. I mean, marketability means a lot, and it ultimately means dollars in your pocket. So that surprised me. And then, you know, as you said, he ended up going rounds. I think the positive for him was, I think he ended up dropping Nicholson four times. And so the power was still there. And I think for a lot of that fight in the early half, even though that was such a great night of fights overall, Nicholson started that fight, I thought in pretty much of a survival mode. Threw back a little more later in the fight, which was good. That added to the entertainment value. And like you said, you see Berlanga get hit on the chin a little bit and see what happens there. But I think in the earlier rounds especially, he was very much in a survival mode, and I think that continued. So, you know, it can be difficult to get a guy out of there that's in pure survival mode. As you mentioned, Berlanga, the last knockdown, the very end of the fight, literally just about at the final bell, was a right hand. And why I specifically remember that was because I didn't like the way Berlanga was throwing his right hand throughout the fight up to that point. He was throwing it kind of wild. It did seem to have the same authority as his left hook has. So I thought that was good for him that in the last round, last second, literally the last round, he was able to score a sharp knockdown with the right hand, and that was a good shot to at least leave a message out there or show that he's got two-handed power. But, I thought even though he went rounds, like you said, I'm usually actually not in the camp for reasons of marketability, and I think if you want to win, if you got an opportunity to win fights early, just win them early. Sometimes when somebody's hanging around, something bad can happen for you. So get them out of there. So he wasn't able to do that early, didn't do it. But in this case, I tend to agree with you that there was getting to be so much pressure on the guy with the one-round KO streak and wasn't getting any rounds in at all since nobody was going past the first. That case, it probably wasn't a bad thing for him to be able to go some rounds, but the marketability is not quite the same then. I suppose what still helps him with it is that, he did get four knockdowns during the course of the fight. So it's not like Nicholson went the distance and he wasn't even hurting him or something like that. So marketability might take a little bit of a hit, but not as much as it could have in a fight where you didn't score a stoppage.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you are kind of, marketing the guy, and they really did, which I get, I do get. I think they went over the top a little bit, but everybody seems like they go over the top nowadays, so it is what it is. But then to turn around and not get it, it is kind of a buzzkill. What do you think of Navarrete? This guy's got such an awkward style, and I still feel like he's going to – of course he's not unbeatable, but like, I don't know. It just seems maybe it's the level of competition of late. I mean, Christopher Diaz is a bad fighter. Not long ago, Ruben Villa, not super tested, but a good fighter. Obviously the Dogbo fights. It's just something about him. Like, I just still feel like he'd get beat once he went against the top level, but he's starting to grow on me a little, John.
I've actually, even with who he's fought since, for me, the 4 pounds going up from 122 to 126 is pretty much meaningless. So he sold me with the dog bay fights. I've heard people getting more down on him a little bit until maybe Saturday. I was not, even though the competition, I agree with you, was a little bit lower. But now I believe in this guy. I did notice what you said earlier. Really, for the first time with him, I was reading it the same way. I was wondering why he toned his aggression down a little bit in this fight. I'm not sure exactly what that was because Diaz is not a puncher. And, whenever he pressed, it opened up, he was hurting him or dropping him. So, right up till the end to when he finally got the stoppage. So, for me, that I'm high on the guy. I have been since he proved to me what he had, really, even the first time he fought Dog Bay when he sort of came out of nowhere. But, I've been a believer, still am. But I was wondering a little bit why his aggression was toned down a bit. You talk about his chin, and, you're not seeing the guy hurt. But that's one thing that I think he looks good to me, but to me is not a certainty as some people might be making out. I mean, some of these guys he's been fighting, especially recently, don't have the firepower. And, Diaz being one of them, you've heard me mention before that first thing I look at anybody coming up when I'm evaluating a prospect, the way I do it is I look for firepower first. And some people have questioned me, well, you know, there sometimes a guy wins without firepower. Yeah, sure, there's exceptions here or there, but most of the time they don't. And there's just too many other things you got to do well. And then when you're fighting other guys at the top level, you know, you're just going to be outgunned and you're going to have some problems. Why I'm mentioning that is, you know, look at the heart Christopher Diaz showed in this fight, but you know, Diaz doesn't have the firepower. So, you know, we've seen him, you know, Navarrete definitely at the upper level, you know, Shakur Stevenson, definitely an upper level guy. And then, you know, Ido had a belt, but you know, I don't even consider him an upper level guy, but the point is, you know, he look at him, he's got some skills, but 5'6" and he doesn't have the firepower. And you know, when he's in then with a guy like Navarrete, who does have firepower, is a perfect example of somebody that does have firepower. Look, the guy gave it all he could, really showed tremendous courage in the 12th round when it certainly was in against the best interest of his health. But, you know, he couldn't put any hurt on Navarrete, and which enabled Navarrete to unload the heavy guns on him whenever he wanted to and really gave Diaz a beating. So to me, that is just a good example of when you don't have the firepower, and that starts to be shown on the way up, especially when you're fighting a little bit better of opposition, that's something that's going to really, really leave you at a disadvantage, even if you have some skills.
And then the undercard. I mean, Josue Vargas was in an entertaining fight, a couple other fights, but I mean, that Ortiz fight with Adorno, how'd you see that one? Because I was okay with the draw. I did think Adorno did just barely enough, but that was a back and forth fight.
Well, I was okay with the draw just as much because both men gave so much of themselves as anything. You know, if the fight, you know, because it's an 8-rounder and it's on ESPN Plus with a little bit of a lesser known guys, the only reason to me people aren't talking about that fight for fight of the year, and that's where you get to me into philosophical discussions about what can be fight of the year. I always used to look at it over the years as, yeah, upper level fight too. But, you know, as years have gone on, I've started to change as the upper level fighters fight less. And they, you know, if they're fighting twice a year, one of the fights at least is usually against lesser competition where you're not going to have even a good fight, never mind fight of the year. That
right.
When I'm watching an undercard more in recent years and I see a fight like you saw with, you know, or Adorno and Ortiz, I've started to change a little bit that, you know, why can't it be fight of the year? I mean, it really was the most exciting fight we've seen so far this year. You know, you had a good one with Cajas and Rodriguez, and you know,
yeah, Rodriguez, that was the one we were talking about. Maybe that's a low key one that should be fight of the year right now. And I agree, this was fight of the year probably, man. I mean, maybe it won't hold up, and you start to split hairs down the stretch of the year. So if a higher level, more meaningful fight stands out as a great fight, I probably will choose that, but it has to do that first, you know?
Yeah, and it reminded me just of how good it was. I tweeted one tweet out during it because it just reminded me of it. I mean, the way Adorno was just, you know, cranking up those left hook bombs and trying to throw those bombs and kind of leaving himself open, and Ortiz was being aggressive coming after him, you know, hitting him with some hard combinations and moving him and definitely hurting him. I mean, it reminded me of an Arturo Gatti fight or something like that, you know, where Adorno was wobbling all over the place, taking all those shots, and then, you know, he was just, you know, cranking up a wild left hook from hell, and you know, he got two knockdowns out of it, and it ended up getting him a draw. And you know, he was totally gassed in the last round, and Ortiz, you know, looked like he might finish him. I mean, it was just a great fight. Probably, you know, I'm not saying anybody's going to give it fight of the year because of the reasons I said, you know, an 8-rounder on an undercard, but I'm with you, Chris. You know, if a higher level fight is just a better fight too, fine, but it's going to be hard to say we're going to get a much better fight this year than that one. And everybody that got to catch that was lucky. And if you haven't, and you got ESPN Plus, I mean, if it, you know, if it's on there and available, definitely watch it because it's worth your while. But, you know, I think Bob Arum is smart enough that we may be seeing a, I feel for the two men that have to go through that again, but hopefully they'll be well compensated because you could see that being set up for a 10-round rematch after a 8-round draw. And you know, that's a hell of a fight. Certainly, if they do that too, you got to put that on ESPN and make that an opener maybe for a bigger fight, but it's perfect for that after they get a chance to recover. I would have liked to see both men get a bonus for what they did Saturday night too. If two guys ever earned it on an undercard, that's it. But I was shocked how good the matchmaking was, and you know, that's what we're just not getting in boxing enough. We get it some, you know, PBC has had some surprises like that, and you know, Top Rank really since around the fall, they've been doing better with it, but you hadn't seen it on these ESPN Plus undercards. I mean, some of them were just dreadful. And it was kind of looking like a light boxing weekend, so I kind of geared up for it. I mean, I got to admit, I wouldn't have normally maybe geared up for that undercard quite as much as I did. I didn't know what was coming, but, you know, then after sitting through it, it was like, you know, every B-side type guy they had on there was a guy that they successfully picked out that came to fight.
Exactly.
And, you know, that was kind of the difference. Like, you know, you talked about the Jose Vargas fight, but, you know, he got hurt in the first round. And,
yeah.
And you know, the guy kept fighting the whole way and, you know, providing resistance. And then you had Xander Zayas who took a guy out quickly, but the guy came to fight, but Zayas just, you know, unloaded on him with a beautiful combination. The kid's only 18 years old. So, you know, even though it wasn't, you know, a known opponent or something, it was still a good showcase because, you know, when a guy's coming to fight and you take him out like that, I mean, you know, that's impressive. You're rather than if you're in with some opponent who's just there to lay down. And, you know, that's one thing we didn't have in any of the fights that Top Rank provided Saturday night, which was great. I mean, and it made all the difference in the world. You know, I noticed, like, you watch some of these undercards, no matter the promoter, some of these undercards with these mismatches or fighters that are in there to lay down and it's just like it's like boring torture after a while. Let's face it. Even if you're a hardcore fan and you think you're scouting prospects, it gets hard to get through it. And this Top Rank
card. You flip
card,
the channel. If there's a tight game on or something or a fourth quarter or last couple of innings of a game, you may flip over there for a while, you know?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're going up to get another slice of pizza or heat up some pizza or something like that. And you know, I couldn't believe, like, this one, I think it started at 6, and normally that would have been torture. And the next thing you know, it's like 11 o'clock, and I'm like, man, the night of boxing's over, and I've been sitting here since 6 o'clock, and, you know, I didn't get up and miss anything. And that just it just doesn't happen much anymore. And it's just a reminder of how good boxing can be when it's like that. And, you know, I hope all the promoters look at that, you know, and just, you know, PBC has had some good ones like that. You know, Top Rank definitely just did it, and we need to see more of that. Even if it's the hardcores, when you're asking hardcores to just sit there for hours of these fights and tune in early, and, you know, let's stop it. Like, I just saw it posted. Here's what we don't want, and I'm not picking on them. Hey, you got to go on what you see. I mean, people with this being too soft, give me a break, especially because there is nepotism involved. You know, I see the Campbell-Hatton fight is going to be broadcast this weekend on the Barker undercard. Did anybody, you know, anybody honestly look at Campbell-Hatton in his first pro fight against the 0-12 guy? I mean,
excited about seeing him again right away, you know?
I mean, can you imagine the guy that Hearn's going to have to dig up for him?
Seriously.
I mean, he was in a life-and-death struggle with the 0-12 guy.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know,
yeah, if anything,
how low could you go?
Off and stay in the gym, you know, and just work on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way that could be any good is that they just can't find somebody so bad that they can't be competitive with Campbell happen,
right.
And it turns into a war. But, you know, I can just imagine who they've been searching for over the last couple of months, for this assignment. I mean, the last guy he fought, the 0-12 guy, was listed as inactive on BoxRec.
Oh, wow.
he was 0-12 and listed as inactive, and he was taunting Campbell Hatton in the final round.
Man.
So,
and that was key, because a lot of times when it is a great weekend, it's like there's a couple UK fights you're into. There's one on Showtime. There's one on this. There's one, you know. And so you're like, oh, you know, I don't like all these cards, but there's about 3 to 5 fights where I'm really into. So that feels like the boxing day. But like you said, for one platform to have it all, that was pretty good. That was pretty damn good.
That was a shocker. I mean, that was a reminder that how good it would be if we could see that from all promoters. And, you know,
Top Ranks
had some horrible undercards on ESPN+, but it all came together Saturday, and that was some great matchmaking. So just showing it can be done, you know, we need more of that. I mean, this idea, you know, where it's gotten bad and really, you know, the hardcore fan gets abused a lot, but you know, where the hardcore fan's really getting abused, I think, is, and that's what we didn't have as much of Saturday night because the bouts were competitive. But this idea of, you know, we're showcasing, and you're supposed to watch all these guys they're supposedly showcasing going against guys
right.
that are just falling down, laying down. I mean, there's no entertainment value there. There's not even, frankly, any value for these prospects outside of you just, oh, this is some guy they're building up, but you know, they're not learning. I don't buy that they're learning anything in those fights.
Right.
And it's not giving
or
the fans.
Or even former guys that they're bringing back just to get them an easy fight. You know, Eddie Hearn does that a lot because he'll talk about the undercard and he'll name just the A-sides. And you're like, look, we got 3 or 4 of these names. And you're like, well, who the fuck are they fighting, though? You know?
You're right.
So
Hearn puts names up all the time. Yeah, Hearn puts names up all the time where he doesn't even have the opponent listed.
Yeah, that's what this weekend is beyond the co-feature. I remember him saying, oh, this, oh, that. It's like, yeah, but, dude, I mean, who they're fighting? That doesn't mean it's a stacked card because I know who's fighting, you know, because we know a lot of people who are fighting. We also had Ring City, Juan Pablo Romero pretty much easily outboxes Barrero, I can't remember how to say his name, pretty basic there. Erica Cruz, you know, did some damage as that fight wore on. She wore out Mirjanovic or whatever her name is. Tough fighter. That, you know, that was actually interesting because Mirjanovic just, you know, stayed around for so long. Mirjanovic, I think that's what it is. But the harder punches really started, you know, coming on with Erica Cruz. So we had Ring TV. And then we even had an FS1, which was the first FS1 card this year that's not a prelim. They kind of went club-ish fight stuff and then slowly worked their way up. Resendez against Madeira, that had an interesting fight. I had Resendez winning 5-3. But that actually was decent. And then Frank Martin, the Southpaw lightweight, looked pretty good. And that dates all the way back to Tuesday.
Yeah, that card was along the lines actually what we're talking about. I mean, that wasn't bad. That
right.
was the types of matchups we're talking about. And remember that Ring City card had that great Angel Ruiz against Mamanoff matchup where, you know, Ruiz battled through those low blows and then, you know, scored those big knockdowns. I mean, that, you know, another welterweight looking good. You know, that was a really entertaining fight. I think you mentioned the right cards. You know, you look at that, and Mirjanovic, she's had a great long career, one of the women who's really shown firepower in her career too, but the age just finally caught up with her. But, you know, she got, you know, upset. But that Ring City card, you know, they've really found their groove where they're hitting their mission of competitive fights. The FS1 PBC card was lesser names, but it was competitive fights. And then Top Rank hit the jackpot with their ESPN Plus and ESPN combo on Saturday night. It actually was a coincidence, but really, that's sort of what we're looking for. You know,
right.
Because it seems like just for the hardcore fan, but really, I would argue that if done consistently, that would actually be beyond the hardcore fan, because what we haven't had in boxing really for a long time now that's been missing, that you would get if this happened consistently, is if somebody's flipping the channel and they look at those kind of fights,
right.
They're going to stay tuned in. They're going to say, hey, you know mm-hmm. what? That was entertaining. I'm going to tune into that next week instead of these supposed showcase prospects or A-side fighters going against fighters that are just in there to fall down. You know, that's not going to keep anybody tuning in or, you know, boring shutout mismatch that goes the distance. I mean, nobody's going to keep tuning in for that casual. And then it's just even torture for hardcore fans. But yeah, this Ring City, then the PBC FS1 card, then the Top Rank cards on ESPN Plus and ESPN on the same night. Those really were all along the lines of ideally where we would want to get back to.
You're right, because a fair amount of the time ESPN has a lead-in. FS1 will have lead-ins from baseball once in a while or NASCAR. And that's another one where a casual fan, you know, just bumps into it, like you said, or during a halftime of a game, you bump into it. Oh, okay, what's this? Oh, I'm going to watch this. And they're going to keep watching it if the fights are good, no doubt about it. This weekend, we have two heavyweight fights on the main event that have some similarities, like I mentioned. Parker and Ruiz still in their prime. We don't really know Ruiz's prime yet because of, you know, the type of shape. Well, he's in now, but over his career, we don't know how many years he has left of prime, but I don't know. Whereas Parker, he's looked just okay ever since that fight, with AJ. After that, you know, he did hurt Dillian White late in that fight, had some moments and whatnot, but then you have their opponents, Chisora and Areola, who are past it. Clearly, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess Chisora maybe. I'm not even going to use the word fresher, John, because I don't think you can say fresh with either of these guys, but they're pretty much past their prime, but they do generally put on some decent fights, especially when it's like a higher level fight, which it is. It's definitely crossroads for both those guys. But, you know, Chisora has been in like 6 crossroads, so who really knows? Some of the undercard fights we'll get into as well, you know, Katie Taylor and Natasha Jonas. And then I really like the undercard fights on that Fox card with Ruiz and Areola. What do you think of these two heavyweight fights? And obviously, you know, here in the States, it's on DAZN, so it's basically free, comes with our subscription. It's Sky Sports Box Office over there. And a lot of people are on the fence with that Fox pay-per-view. What are your thoughts in general on both heavyweight fights? And then we can talk about some of the undercard stuff too.
Yeah, it's a good discussion because of their heavyweights and then the pay-per-view factor, you know, Chisora Parker pay-per-view in the UK, and then in the U.S. it's Ruiz Areola with the pay-per-view. You know, being consistent, I mean, neither fight really should be on pay-per-view. Of course, like you said, in the U.S., this is where the DAZN yearly does pay off for the hardcore boxing fan. You know, we're going to get that, and it's actually nice getting these fights in the afternoon in the U.S., so, you know, we don't have to worry about the pay-per-view part on the, on the Parker-Chisora fight if you have DAZN. And then on the, you know, Areola-Ruiz, you know, it seemed to me like it should be a regular Fox card, would have been a good regular Fox card. I didn't like hearing about the pay-per-view. Then, you know, I still didn't like it, but I felt better that at least they were going $49.95 instead of, you know, $79.95. And then the undercards got a lot of people I'm interested in, or, you know, you got a good fight with Abel Ramos, and you've got Omar Figueroa. I mean, that should be a war. Both guys are capable of providing action, and they're matched up. And Jesus Ramos at age 20, welterweight, definitely one of the best prospects in boxing. A guy stepping up against Javier Molina, who, you know, has a good amateur U.S. Pedigree, and is a pretty slick boxer. I mean, that's a pretty good test for a 20-year-old at this point. And then you've got Fundora, who's coming on strong, facing Cota, who at least has some power, even though he's been stopped in his big step-ups against Lubin and Charlo. But, you know, losing to Charlo is no shame right now, especially. There's a lot of undercard action that's interesting. So, you know, I wanted to be consistent because I didn't like when a lot of boxing stuff got pay in terms of, you know, too many fights on pay-per-view. And then, so really, frankly, even too much premium cable and subscription with DAZN coming around. With all that said, where I don't really like it, I mean, it's just something all the promotions have been sticking with one way or another. So, because it's kind of a second job for me, of course, is part of the reason. But also, I'm just going to throw in the towel and pay for the Ruiz Areola. I'm not saying the main event justifies it, but you got a Mexican theme. You got a good undercard. Areola's been somebody I've been watching a long time. It's interesting seeing Ruiz go over with Reynoso, of course, Canelo's trainer, see if he's going to be in shape and see what he's got. And it's just kind of an entertainment value thing. I think that card with those fights is going to have enough entertainment value. And I'm not saying Ruiz and Areola is necessarily going to be a good fight. But one thing you also got is, it surprised me, but part of this doesn't lie, is, you know, the way Areola fought against Konatsky. And then, you know, a lot of detractors say, oh, well, it's Konatsky. But Konatsky or whoever it was, Areola was in shape, and his punch level contributed to a heavyweight punch stat record. I mean, that's just data. The guy in his late 30s got himself in good enough of shape with Joe Goosen that he was able to throw, you know, part of a record number of punches for a heavyweight, and he had a lot to do with that. It was, you know, we know Konatsky throws a lot, but Areola threw a lot, and you know, this is one in all heavyweight fights. I'm reminded in recent years, before you start making predictions and exact calls, you want to see what the guys weigh in it. That's where heavyweight's different than all the other weights. You can tell many, many times how well somebody's prepared at heavyweight because they don't have to make weight. So you can tell how well they've prepared. And of course, if there's ever two guys, arguably, who you need to see how well prepared they are, it's Chris Areola and Andy Ruiz. So, yeah, we're going to have to be looking real carefully at those weights on Friday. Now, they're both putting a bunch of pictures out there, but we still got to see what they weigh in at. Now, one thing you got to say for Chris Areola is he's putting the pictures out there, but when he fought Konatsky, he really was in much better shape than he had been earlier in his career. And as he said himself, you know, in terms of his age, it was too late to do it, but kind of a better late than never thing. And, you know, he did throw a lot of punches. So I guess what I'm looking at is the best you can get out of this one is if Areola comes in at the shape he was for Konatsky, and, you know, who knows, maybe Ruiz isn't going to be in as good a shape as they're saying. We never know for sure. Or even if he is, if Areola's in shape and he didn't lose too much against Konatsky and the layoff doesn't get to him, you know, maybe he's going to at least throw some bombs at Ruiz for a while. But I would think if both are in shape, that Ruiz's hand speed should be too much for him.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. I think it'll be fun while it lasts. I guess I'm not 100% sold that Areola is going to get knocked out because he has shown a pretty good chin, unless he's not ready to fight, and you have seen that plenty of times. Koznoski did have him hurt several times, so maybe Ruiz will close the show in style. You think he's going to knock him out, or maybe at least just a TKO or something, or you think that it'll go 12 rounds?
let's say I'm going to have to, like I said, with heavyweights, I've learned I got to make it a, I'm going to have to just qualify it on what condition of each guy. Let's say Areola is committed like he was for Konatsky and he's in shape, and but Ruiz, these pictures are real and he's gotten in shape with Reynoso and learned his lesson from the way he showed up for the Joshua rematch. If that's like, so let's say, I mean, PBC's putting out a number, you know, we just don't know if it's true or not until he gets on the scale, but that Ruiz is at 255. So let's say that Areola's in the shape he was the last time, but Ruiz is down to 255. Then even though I am going to buy this card, I think then Ruiz with the hand speed should be able to get him out of there early. Now, if it comes in where Ruiz is heavy, and Areola is in that really good shape, I think then it could have a chance to be interesting because the not-in-shape Andy Ruiz is not very aggressive and does not have a particularly great punch output. So then the in-shape Areola, if he's not shot after all the shots he took against Konatsky, you know, that he's going to have volume and maybe then Ruiz, you know, is going to lose some rounds or something like that. But both in good shape, I think Ruiz should be able to take him out of there pretty early.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, let's put it this way. I think I said this earlier. If this was Ruiz against Luis Ortiz, I would be like, okay, I'm good with it being a main event, and the undercard's going to be awesome. I would be, like, pushing this thing. Like, this is good. You are going to, like, after this night, you are going to be entertained. And, you know, kind of like we talked about before, we do allow these fights to take place and see if we are entertained. We can't just sit there and put something on the shelf and then not admit. Because, you know, how many times have a main event been just one-sided in 10-2 or 11-1? And then the undercards, because the money, you know, some of these fighters, even some of the guys Pacquiao and Mayweather fought on pay-per-view, you know, completely easy whitewashes, but there's so much money in the main event, the undercard would suck, where it's kind of opposite. You know, the undercard is all three of those matchups I'm looking forward to. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But what about Chisora and Parker? You know, Parker is just – his style is just strange. You know, obviously it kind of matters who he's fighting. You know, speaking of that Ruiz fight, when he was younger, he would really put his punches together. He would kind of go for, like, maybe not go for the knockout per se, but land heavy shots. And you could also tell he'd get tired in those fights, and then he'd get hit and hit, and then he'd have a second wind and whatnot. But ever since, it seems like there was moments in that white fight, like I was saying, and he did knock him down at the end and whatnot. But, I mean, I don't know. Parker is just – I know he had a belt and everything, and if Ruiz was in shape, I think Parker loses that fight. But how do you see this one playing out? You think Chisora still has a shot to at least just make it entertaining? I mean, he's slowing down too, so he's clearly going to be the come-forward fighter, but – do you have some interest in this one as well?
Yeah, I got more interest just because of the trainers, which is kind of odd. You know, usually that's maybe an overrated part of things, but it depends who the trainers are in the situation. You know, what's interesting to me about this one is, you know, Parker has added Andy Lee for this fight. You know, he was trained by Kevin Barry for a long time, got rid of him. And Chisora has brought in Buddy McGirt, who I think is one of the best strategists in the game. And even with a guy like Derek Chisora, I think McGirt will have some kind of strategy. And that makes it more interesting to me. But the problem is, you know, Chisora's got double-digit losses. And while he's been in some entertaining fights in recent years, he's had a lot of fights over the years, too, where he's just plodded around to decision losses. And right. As you said about Parker, I think with Parker, frankly, it was when he upped his level of opposition, you know, before the Andy Ruiz. Well, actually, even with him, it was before he fought Takam. And I even think Takam's always been a bit overrated. You know, just like you said, when he was fighting lower level on the way up. You know, he was throwing hard shots and combinations and knocking all those guys out and looked like a destroyer type guy. That's what everybody thought he was on the way up. And then starting with the calm, if I recall, I think that was the first fight where I really noticed that. You know, he's got a pretty good jab, but that's when he just started to be like this safety first kind of mediocre, dull boxer who had a good jab, and he'll just stay behind the jab all night and, you know, just sort of coast to these boring decisions. And that's the way I agree with you. You know, Ruiz, it's a fight to me. He should have won. Some people thought he did, but I did not think he won it. It was just like you said, you know, the out of shape version of Andy Ruiz who just doesn't do enough. And Parker was just staying behind that jab, being boring, and he did enough to win the fight. And, you know, Parker's had a lot of fights like that since then. You know, he wasn't aggressive.
Yeah, the Huey Fury, that was dreadful,
Huey Fury stinker where he let Huey Fury, who's really not very good, frankly. I mean, the guy can't crack an egg. You know, let him hang around with him. Just he's had fights after fight like that. And, you know, really, the Dillian White fight was even kind of another example of that because it was a fight Parker could have easily won, which he showed at the end. Now, he was the victim of a bad referee call early on where he truly did not get knocked down, and the referee called it a knockdown. Then later in the fight, White cranked up that unorthodox left and nailed him and dropped him legitimately. But then, you know, Parker decided to turn it on, and he had White gone in the last round. I mean, if the fight would have lasted another few seconds, Dillian White would have gotten knocked out. And to tell you the truth, I thought even in that fight, I thought that was one where, frankly, I just thought the British commentary was ridiculous, that my opinion was White was doing nothing special the whole fight outside of that big left he landed the knockdown with, and he almost got knocked out in the last round. You know, you had a bad knockdown call. I thought it was a fight Parker could have gotten the decision. Even the way it played out, I thought it was a fight Parker could have gotten the decision in. And, you know, the British commentators were having Dillian White pitching a shutout until he almost got knocked out in the last round, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people could disagree, but I'm just saying that was one I didn't see that way. And, I know a lot of people thought White definitely won, but I know one or two I saw after the fight were thinking like I did. But just that Parker's, you know, like one of these heavyweights like we talk about, you know, he has become an underachiever. You saw it even just in his recent win over Fa. You know, he won it, but ordinary, as he usually does in those types of fights. And he wasn't even really boxing as well as he usually does in his more boring fights. So maybe that's when he decided it was time for a change with Barry. So, you know, we're going to see. I mean, will Andy Lee get this guy to be more aggressive? I'm not sure that he can, really, with Parker. You know, even though Chisora has been durable during his career, this is a fight in theory where if Parker got more aggressive, he could get a knockout. But then again, now Chisora has Buddy McGirt. And one thing, whoever Buddy McGirt takes over, and I know Chisora is 37, but still, it's just the way McGirt seems to train guys. He knows he won't necessarily win the fight like that, but McGirt likes to instill some defense in whoever he's training. I mean, I always notice that. So I think even with a 37-year-old Derek Chisora, I think he's smart enough, he'll have him putting pressure on, but I think he's going to, you know, he'll probably be working on him with some kind of head movement or adding some boxing in there or something like that, because that's just, to me, what it seems like McGirt does. So I'm a little bit interested in the training matchup there, but I think as good as McGirt is, I just think Parker's got more talent, and even if he does his boring Parker thing and just sticks the jab out there, that should be enough to keep Chisora off him and get a decision.
You do see that a lot, though, with especially at heavyweight, but I think in a lot of different weight classes where the prospect comes up and he's trying to knock everybody out and he's looking badass, and maybe that's kind of what they're building him at. And then it just at some point just kind of slows down, or he just goes back into – you know, a mode of like, okay, they didn't just go down, so I'm going to take this a little bit easier. You have Chisora, who actually had his moments against Usyk and whatnot, but you know, he's been fighting for a while. It's funny when you look back at some of the Klitschko's and the Hayes. I mean, that's like 9 years ago. Hellenius and all that. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and he's been decision. But what people tend to forget, you know, he's been decision by guys like Cabiel and Pulev, and you know these are mediocre. You know, these are mediocre guys, really. I mean, you know, so you know when it really comes down. I mean, if he didn't, you know, if he didn't. He was getting pushed back, and, you know, it was a good brawl, very entertaining fight. Once, you know, Chisora has had more of those than he even used to, you know, with the white fights and then the Takam fight. But you know, Takam was battering and putting pressure on, and Chisora was countering some, and it looked like he was fading, really, and then he just cranked up a bomb and landed. Why I mention that fight is I'm not sure if and even though, like I said, I think Takam was always a little bit overvalued. If he didn't pull out that come from behind KO, I mean, we probably wouldn't even still be talking about him right now. And you know, he's kind of been riding that one. He's kind of been riding that one for a few years.
That is very true. Any other fights you want to talk about or any other topics that you'd like to get off your chest or anything like that?
Well, since you mentioned it, you know, I just want to add, because I think it needs to be addressed. I personally am not really, you know, maybe it will happen, but I'm not all that optimistic this Joshua Fury fight's going to happen. I mean, nobody's told me what happened to the mandatory arbitration clause in the Wilder Fury contract, which called for three fights and a third fight. If nobody can tell me what's happened with that, I mean, the last we heard of quote unquote official news was, you know, Wilder had exercised the arbitration clause after the case was not settled in mediation. Nobody's told me how that's been dealt with. So I'm going to, as far as I know, that's still pending. So, you know, Hearn's been the one really talking about this the most. As you said, this week, now Aram's saying, I haven't even heard anything back from Hearn. You know, you and I have gone over this before. I mean, Fury's a British guy, but Top Rank made a big U.S. investment in him with ESPN basically as a partner in it. You know, this deal, if it comes off, which this part does make sense to me, because I didn't hear that addressed till recently, and it has to be addressed. You remember when you and I were on the show a while back, maybe it was even a couple months ago, you know, we were saying, you know, how's the TV supposedly working in that? We're not hearing. And, you know, Hearn's put so much in DAZN, Matchroom US is 40% owned by DAZN. But Hearn, it was always said, and that Hearn with Joshua, he had him fighting on DAZN, but in the U.S. he was not obligated to DAZN. You know, he had got a separate deal. Well, it was reported that if this fight does take place, the U.S. TV would be ESPN plus pay-per-view. So we would have to believe that Eddie Hearn's going to not have Joshua on DAZN for this fight, which he can do, but with all that investment of DAZN and Matchroom US, and Hearn's got, you know, so much out there now as the front man for DAZN US, is he really going to do that? Does he really want to do that? I'm not sure that he does. I mean, they're right, saying $150 million Saudi site fee. Now, maybe that could even make Eddie Hearn say, hey, $150 million Saudi site fee, but I've said this before, I could be wrong, but to me, Hearn likes Joshua as the cash cow with these alphabet belts, you know, defending these where he can sell them in the UK. I think that is enough for him with Joshua. That's my opinion. So, you know, losing to Tyson Fury does not fit that mold. Now, I'm not saying Joshua's going to lose, but there certainly be a high risk of him losing. He's going to be the underdog. So, you know, is Eddie Hearn this? I think, actually, knowing odds making, I can say this. Anthony Joshua has never gone into a fight as an underdog with Eddie Hearn. So, again, the first time for everything could happen. So we're supposed to believe on this one that he's going to send Joshua in as an underdog for the first time with Frank Warren and Bob Arum's guy, another Brit, Tyson Fury. Do you see that? I mean, I myself don't. Now, I might be wrong, but I don't see it, and I got to see what's going to happen with this Wilder arbitration clause. Maybe it just turns out that there's so much money with the Saudi site fee, if that's true, and in Fury, Joshua, that's going to happen. I mean, I'd like to see the fight, but, you know, as some people are saying, and I agree with this, heck, Fury and Wilder could have had their third fight out of the way already.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been January, February, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that part of it is a bummer, you know? Because now he's going to have to wait. Like, at least AJ got out, you know, in December. That's a big advantage,
right.
You know, especially for Fury, if he wants to be more on his toes for this fight, too, and being sharp that way instead of a brutally kind of rough and tumble inside fight, which I think some of that will be that. But, yeah, he kind of just – I know there's a lot of danger in, you know, with that right hand fighting it if you're going to make all this money, and maybe that played into it. But, yeah, it does just suck. And that's part of the reason why the casual fan base right now and even, you know, hardcore slash casuals on Twitter are kind of pissed right now, because these fights could have already happened, and then people are just – it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. And we just – it's like, Eddie, just don't talk until the fight's done here, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like that – and I agree with you. There's so much talking. And, you know, Hearn does do a good job as the front man marketing. I mean, the more I watch him, actually,
definitely,
the more I'm even giving him credit for that. But that's what I feel it is, just what you called it, Chris. It's like it's just like he's talking. It's some kind of a mark. I think – Eddie Hearn is this good of a marketer. I think it's – I mean, again, I could be wrong, but what I'm thinking right now, until I see differently, and I haven't even heard what's happened with the arbitration clause and with Wilder and Fury. So considering Eddie Hearn's talking, well, we don't know what's happened with that, and he's not a party to that deal, I got to think that this seems to me that it's a sell – because Joshua is going to end up fighting somebody else before the end of the year.
Right.
I mean,
like he's working. I was out there. I was out there, Anthony. I promise. I was out there trying my best.
I think that's what it is. Exactly. And I think probably why it's an overdrive is I think, and I'm not certain exactly why he did this, but I think that guy was originally going to be Usyk, but he let Usyk go. So, you know, on his own decision. So, and, you know, people got to look at this, too. I mean, Top Rank's let Usyk go and Hearn let Usyk go. I mean, that should tell you something about how much money he brings in, and I mean doesn't bring in, because he's been let go. He's been let go by two of the top promoters now who had both had ideas of marketing him as a heavyweight. So, and you know how Bob Arum gets blunt then, and he knows how to sell too, but you know, he just said the guy couldn't sell when he let him go. And then they were saying, well, Arum made a mistake and this stuff, but look, now Hearn's let him go. So what I'm just saying is, and I do kind of like speculate about this part of the business because we have to do it a lot. I mean, I'm wondering, I thought when Hearn signed him, I think Usyk was going to be that guy. And Hearn was going to just make that a big sell in the UK. And I don't know, you know, maybe to Usyk's credit, I don't know if he thought with Usyk's style it was something that might be trouble for Joshua. I don't know myself. I think Joshua is kind of a bad matchup for Usyk myself. I've always kind of felt that. So I wasn't really looking at it that way. But, you know, did Hearn look at it that way and say, I don't want to go in that direction? Or maybe, again, it's like with him, Usyk being let go twice, you know, maybe they just like, yeah, this guy just doesn't really sell enough to be in that kind of a big fight. And, you know, maybe we'll go with an opponent who costs less or something. But what I'm getting to is if now it's not going to be Usyk, which I don't think it is, if Hearn is setting up Joshua for somebody else in the fall, say, who's it going to be? You know, he let Hunter go, too. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be Usyk. I don't think it's going to be Hunter. And that would then, but in a way, that would then tell you why Hearn's marketing so hard, because it's not going to be somebody good. I mean, you know, he wants it to be, I tried, I did everything I could to get you Fury, and I couldn't work it out, and he had a contract with Wilder that was going to arbitration, and I did everything, and you heard me. It seems to me like it's being more set up for that than it is for actually fighting Fury.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, and it all comes, some of it does come down to that, or most of it comes down to that site fee, because, and Eddie did deny this, I think, on IFL TV about Coppinger and those numbers and Kriegel and those numbers that they put out. And if those numbers were true, then it's like, what's the holdup? You know, like, if they both get $75 million, this thing should be signed, sealed, and delivered. So it kind of makes me go, well, I don't know. But first and foremost, I mean, the site fee, no doubt, that's probably the second most important thing, and ultimately the first. But like you said, the Wilder stuff is clearly causing a snag here, and it's not going to be, more than likely, it's not going to be an inexpensive snag either. And this is real. It's legit. It took Bob Arum a while to admit it, but then he admitted it, and he said it, you know, in May. This bag, well, in May it'll get figured out. So, I mean, you got Tyson already in camp. Sounds like AJ's in camp. Wilder's in camp. So we're hearing Pacquiao and Spence. We're hearing all these guys starting their camp, but we don't have announcements. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, unfortunately. But it could, you know, I think you're going down the right path, of course, with the Wilder thing. But also, it's kind of like, man, I mean, Eddie has said it himself that the, you know, fights don't get made on social media, and they don't get made on that. Obviously, he does plenty of that too. But yeah, it's just a wait and see, and here we are almost in May, and so yeah, people are getting frustrated. No matter if the hardcore fight fans are happy, people are definitely getting frustrated, just wanting to see more announcements. Anything else, sir, that you want to talk about?
I think that's probably it for tonight, Chris. Just I think that, like we said, just in closing, the undercard part of the Areola-Ruiz card does have some good entertainment potential. So I am hopeful for that. I'm taking a close look at that. You definitely want to take a close look at Jesus Ramos and Fundora, because they've got decent opponents where it shouldn't be somebody just falling down like we talk about. So even though they're obviously the guys being spotlighted, decent opponents. And then Omar Figueroa and Abel Ramos, it's really not an exaggeration. Both those guys coming off losses to Ugas, which is no shame, but those are really two guys that really need that fight. So that's got some potential to be a war.
Uh-huh. I agree. I think you could get all three of those, I think, will be entertaining. But if you were to get to the main event and even two out of the three were like bangers, then you're like, okay, well, this is just, you know, this is just the extra cherry on top, because no matter what, Ruiz and Areola, it feels like you said, we got to see him weigh in and see him throw punches and whatnot. But it does feel like no matter what, that'll be entertaining. So if you get it, I mean, obviously if all three fights are pretty damn good, then it's like, well, who gives a shit by that time, you know? People aren't going to be complaining about the pay-per-view. They're going to be like, this is one of the best pay-per-views I've ever had. And, you know, then it'll be the complete opposite, and that's how boxing Twitter is. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. Enjoy the fights this weekend, though, John.
I will, Chris, and I'll just get off now. But that's right. We forgot we have Corn Flake LaManna is also going to take on Lara. So
that's right.
He'll be a massive underdog. But I'm just going to say this. And I don't want to sound absolutely crazy, and I'm not going to make any prediction or anything like that. But with Lara not being all that aggressive, he has been more flat-footed, you know, and more entertaining in recent years because he's getting up there in age. And I do think he's got underrated power. It's just he doesn't fight in that style. But what I'm saying is, you know, LaManna's had a little more trouble with some guys that can punch. His boxing skills actually are pretty good. This might not be a horrible style matchup for him. I'm not saying it's going to be a thriller, but I'm just saying might not be all that bad of a style matchup for him.
I swear, I this is at middleweight now, right?
Yeah, they're actually fighting at middleweight too. Yep.
So do you think Arislani? You think they're going to try to put him in with Charlo next then at 160, and try to just get him a name? If that Benavidez stuff doesn't, they got to have something at work here because this is the third time. I mean, he fought Canelo's brother, you know, here in Minneapolis. He fought an easy fight here last summer, and now he's got another fight that he should win easy. So he's got to be lined up for something. I thought it was Jermell, but when I see 160, I go, huh, maybe they're actually going to have him fight Jermall.
It would seem. I mean, it would seem to make some sense in terms of what they're were setting up. They talked about the Benavidez thing a little bit this week, but I agree with you. I mean, the Lara fighting for this WBA trinket, you would think that there is something behind it, and you know, Jermall Charlo is desperately in need of opponents. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean. It wouldn't shock me at all. It would seem to certainly be a possibility.
Yeah, something to think about, no doubt about it. All right, John, you take it easy. Have a good night. Thanks for spending some time on the show.
All right, thanks for having me as always, Chris. Have a good night.
Yeah, too, man. Take care. All right, it's always fun to talk to John. Great boxing mind. We're going to get out to Portland here in just a little bit. In fact, Portland, let me know. You know, how close you are, or if you got to go to the spot and whatnot, or whatever you got to do. Just breaking down the card, like, you know, I have the same, very similar. This year there's a lot more pay-per-views, obviously. actually, since we've returned from the, you know, from the no boxing in the summer, and then once it, you know, got going in August, September, like real big fights or whatever, we had one in September. We had a lot of pay-per-views. September, October, November, December. We just had one. We're going to have one again this week. We got one again in June. Actually, Mayweather and Logan Paul just got announced June 6th in Miami. Sounds like Jean Pascal and Badu Jack might be on the undercard, that rematch. That's actually a really good fight. I've been hoping that they get that fight made. Because both of them are in that I'm old, you know, I need something. But yeah, as far as pay-per-view goes, on the surface, I do wish Ruiz Areola would be on a straight up Fox card. That's the way it sounded like it was going to be last November with Luis Ortiz on the undercard in a stay busy fight, which obviously that's what it was. It was even way more. It was a tune up, and then they were going to fight around this time. So had that worked out, and we'd be getting Luis Ortiz and Ruiz right now. Oh my God. I'd be like, dude, I love this main event. It's going to be great. And then the undercard would just be, you know, packed with action and whatnot. So, it's one of those things, you know, well, why don't I just break down the other card, because we're going to go a little bit deeper into the Ruiz Areola card. But when we talk about pay-per-view, I have the same conversation. But, you know, Parker Chisora, I do think Parker will do enough to win the fight. Chisora will definitely have his moments. And it's a close fight. I mean, Chisora, I think the highest I've seen Chisora is like plus 160-something. I'm looking at it now, 164, 160. It's a pick 'em fight, and I do think Parker will win. I could see Chisora landing a couple of shots, though, throughout the fight that, like, you know, give him momentum. But I do think Parker will find a way to win a decision. There's that Natasha Jonas and Katie Taylor. That's an interesting fight. I think Taylor will win that fight, but she tends to kind of be in competitive fights if she's fighting a pretty good fighter, which Jonas is a pretty good fighter. So I think Katie Taylor will win by decision in that one. Dmitry Bivol is, in a stay busy fight. Not much there. James Tennyson as well. He's in what looks like an easy fight. Michael Conlan. That's that DAZN Sky Sports pay-per-view. But I am looking forward to some of those fights. The top two really are the ones I'm interested in. The Michael Conlan fight. I don't know how interested I am in that fight. That might be. Well, we don't know. He's kind of inconsistent. But that Sonny Edwards, Matalani, I think it's Matalani or whatever. I remember he's been around for a long, long time. I mean, this guy's been. He's been around for, like I said, a long-ass time. I remember him fighting, Donaire. I mean, this guy's fought a lot of fights. I mean, when did he turn pro? I mean, he's got to be getting up there. How old is he? 38 years old, the baby face from South Africa. Yeah, 2008 was that Donaire fight. Wow. I knew it was a while ago, but I even thought it was a tad before that. Yagashi, he got a good win lately. I'm trying to look at it, who else he's beaten lately. There really hasn't. Miranda, that's okay. Tay-Tay, that's a good win. I do remember that. That's 11 years ago almost, though. Jesus Christ, that's crazy. Sonny Edwards, though, I still think this is a good test for him because, let's be honest, it's not like he's been in there with much at all. I mean, he really hasn't. So I'm looking forward to this one. Sonny Edwards doesn't have a lot of power. Will that catch up with him? But when you look at it, plus 140 is the highest I see, plus 143. I actually just saw randomly, but plus 110, plus 120, I'm talking about Sonny Edwards. So that's, in boxing, that's pretty much a 50-50 fight. That's Sonny Edwards. I'm going to say Sonny Edwards wins by decision, but he doesn't have a lot of power. So that one is a close fight. I'm looking forward to that one, no doubt about it. I think that about wraps it up on the UK side, if I remember correctly. Yes, I think that is. Did I say Dmitry Bivol against Richards? That should be a pretty easy fight for him. But, yeah, this Ruiz Areola, like I said, it was planned last November-ish to be on Fox. That's what it sounded like. And then it was going to be Luis Ortiz. And, Ruiz wasn't in shape yet enough. He had lost some weight over the summer, but obviously not enough. He found, he's got a new camp and whatnot. And I'm glad to see him in better shape, let's put it that way. So, yeah, I cannot vouch for this as a pay-per-view main event. Like, dude, this is a great fight for main event. This qualifies per se. But Ruiz, it's kind of like, he does have some popularity now. So when this fight got announced or the whole card got announced, like later that day I got a text from my buddy. I texted another friend about it who I knew liked Ruiz, and he was down. And so my buddy texted me right away like, because he's got like three kids and everybody wakes up early in the house. And so once it hits like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, it's a wrap, So he's like, hey, just rent it. I'll come over. I'll pay for it, So it's like, well, shit. I mean, okay. This one, I kind of wish it was in the theater. Obviously if you were going by yourself, then it's like $22, $25. But, if you're splitting it, it's still about $25. At least they did drop $25 off the asking price. I'll give them credit for that. But it's not that – it will be a good action fight. But it's just not – it's just funky. I got to admit. I'm not going to sit here and – like I said, if this was Ortiz with this undercard, I would be praising it, saying – I'm buying it 100%. You should too, because I don't tell people what they should buy, but I am going to be part of a purchase because I got a buddy that's a huge Ruiz fan. And action-wise, like I said, when you look at the co-feature, Omar Figueroa, Abel Ramos, 12-rounder, I just don't see how that's not a brawl at some point. Figueroa, has he been in slow fights? I mean, I guess it was one-sided against Ugas because he was losing, but, I mean, you know, that should be a good-ass fight. That's somewhat of an equally matched fight, in my opinion. In fact, what is the odds on that one? Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the closest ones of the, you know, of the weekend as well. You got plus 135, plus 141 is the highest for Omar Figueroa. And Ramos could win this fight. He's been a little up and down of late. Ugas' fight wasn't the best. You know, he had his moments against Brian Perella, but it wasn't until later in that fight, ultimately really late. The Jorge Cota, Sebastian Fundora, I think that's an underrated fight. You know, I do think a lot of people are just remembering Cota from, you know, his two knockout losses. Obviously, he was a fill-in for... Who was he? Oh, for Tony Harrison. That's right, because Tony Harrison messed up his ankle a couple summers back, and he filled in kind of late notice. It was like a summer fight, if I remember correctly, like in June or July. And he got knocked out there. But the fight right before it, he lost, but it was a split decision to Rosario. You know, so he's not like Udell Johnson. I remember him beating him. But the two names that stand out are Charlo and Lubin because they waxed them. In fact, we were talking about Cornflake. He beat Cornflake in his last fight, too. I forgot about that. But that Rosario fight showed me a fair amount. And Fundora is not like a guy who's got a ton of power. So I do feel like it'll just be an action fight, and where, you know, Fundora is, what is it, 16 fights or something? I like the Jorge Cota because I think it's a good matchup there. And then Jesus Romas against Javier Molina. Jesus Romas doesn't have a bunch of fights. So I like this fight. Odds-wise, it's not, you know, you're also talking about a Ramos who is just now dipping his, you know, feet into some of the deeper waters. I'm not going to say this is deep water, but for a prospect, I think this is going to be a good fight. So, you know, Arislani Lara is staying busy, but the Eduardo Ramirez and Isaac Abalara, that's going to be on Fox. I like that fight better, to be honest with you. Oh, I didn't know Adrian Granados was on here against Jose Luis Sanchez. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Huh. But, yeah, the main event, it screams regular Fox, you know, and it was supposed to be in November. That's not the case, so that part of it is disappointing. Now, if we get, like I was just talking about John, if we get to the main event and two out of the three fights have popped off, or maybe that that Eduardo Ramirez fight against Isaac Abalar, maybe that's a good fight on the co-feature on the Fox prelim, and then two out of the three other cards work out in their good-ass fights. Once you got a couple in, yeah, you know, you're probably going to be like, hey, this was actually worth it or whatever. But I do wish it would be maybe at the movie theater or whatever, or just on plain Fox. But like I said, I have to admit that I am going to be watching it because, you know, one of my good buddies is a huge Ruiz fan. So we're gonna kind of do it throwback how we used to do it more in the mid-2000s to late-2000s where we would work the night and not, you know, this is before like you had before, I mean, even big pay-per-views like on HBO back in the day, not even far back in the two, you know, 2000s, mid 2000s, they wouldn't show replays. They would be like still shots on ESPN. So you could go out or you could work like at a bar. I work at a bar or go out and party, whatever, hang out with friends and then come back and watch it and not know anything about it. Now, obviously, with the internet on your phone, that's a little tougher to do. But I'm actually going to work that night, and we're not open as late as we normally are right now still. So I'm going to actually watch it like 11 o'clock and on. But my buddy's just like, dude, rent it. I'll pay for it. We're watching that card. So it's like, all right, you know. And that's the way I look at it. You know, everybody has an entertainment value, what they feel like is entertainment value. Some people thought, you know, slash Jake Paul was entertainment value because of the music and because of the slap boxing, right? They had a slap boxing thing in there. Some people thought that Tyson and Roy Jones was going to be entertainment value, especially the young people that hadn't seen, you know, Tyson on a fight night and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, if you go out and have some drinks and have dinner and hang out, whether you're on a date or you're with your buddies, it gets to $50 pretty easy. So I would never tout this as a great main event pay-per-view. I just wouldn't. Like I said, you give me Luis Ortiz in that spot with Andy Ruiz, then I would have a different view on it. But I do have to admit that I am watching it, and it will be purchased. But I'm really hoping the undercard pouts. You know, I would have to really think about it if, I mean, obviously you do a podcast and everything like that, but if it wasn't for one of my good buddies being such a huge fan and him just saying, I'll pay for it, I would have to definitely split it with someone just off of entertainment value. But hopefully it's good. I do think Ruiz will win. If he knocks him out, I think it'll be more TKO. I think Fundora will win, but I think the first, let's say, 3-4 rounds will be, like, back and forth because Fundora gets hit a lot. I'm actually going to go with an upset Abel Ramos, just being a little more busy over the last couple years. And then Jesus Ramos will beat Javier Molina, but I assume there will be some trouble in there at times. I really do. So I'm picking a minor upset in Abel Ramos over Omar Figueroa. But, yes, the best, the Fundora. I think Cotto is going to actually put on a better fight than a lot of folks. Just remember Charlo and Lubin knocking him out. But they don't remember the Rosario fight. And that's actually why he got the replacement feeling, because he had just shown a tough fight against Rosario. So, anyway, I see Carcino on the line. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Carcino. There is some other things to talk about. Ryan Garcia pulls out of the Javier Fortuna fight. Bob Arum is talking radio silence of late with this, like, where Eddie hasn't gotten back to me. He keeps talking a bunch of stuff. Pacquiao Crawford is off now. Now it looks like it's going to be Mikey Garcia, which I always kind of thought it was going to be. Let's go ahead and bring in Carcino for Life live on the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast. What's going on, Carcino? How the hell are you, man?
Extremely busy, but I've you know, as usual. But still, man, it's just been an incredible week. You know, being in this new house is different. You know, trying to get everything, and then you kind of see the effects of COVID. You know, you can't get your furniture for like 6 months. You know, you're like, what's going on here? You know, like, I had to wrestle just to get my living room furniture in, and it's like, okay, they can take your money now, but you won't see any furniture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not
used
to
people. We'll take your money, sir,
money.
No problem.
Yeah,
like, I didn't
you know,
put it on layaway, dude. Month. Yeah, it's not a layaway here.
I'm like, well, when you get it in stock, let me know and I'll come pay you. I'm not going to pay
right.
you to bring my furniture in stock. So I'm like, no, I'm not. They were like, well, you know, because most of this is in dock, you know, and they can't, it's coming from overseas and, you know, and all these different things that has to pass through. I'm like, my God, I'm not getting dope. I just want
to. Yeah, exactly, dude. You're not
getting
medicine.
Trying to wait till it clears the docks and inspections. And
right.
You got to go through customs. I'm like, look, I just want my first shit to go to sleep. I want to go.
We
got to
cut it open and check. To make sure there's nothing in it. It's like, then we got to stitch it back up. And you're like, hey, what are you going to do? You weren't supposed to tell me that.
Yeah,
well, I appreciate you taking time out of the busy schedule, no doubt about it. Whatever you want to talk about, feel free. There was some good fight. I mean, ESPN top to bottom had a really fun fight card. There's some fights coming up this week. There's a lot of news. Like I mentioned, Bob Arum is like, the last week he hasn't heard anything, and Eddie keeps talking about it but doesn't want to talk about it but keeps on talking about it. What do you want to talk about, sir?
Oh, we can talk about a lot of stuff. Let's talk about the fight this week. Like what you were saying about Ramos is the thing about Figueroa. We don't know which Figueroa we're going to get. That's the only thing about Figueroa that it's like hard to figure out. Like, you don't know which Figueroa that's going to line up and you're going to have in front of you. So for me, Ramos is going to be a live dog in the fight because Figueroa is kind of laid back with his offense since he's moved up in weight. You know, he's not going to be as active as he's normally been in recent times because of it. You know, he's been, he's had some good looks, but I don't think he can beat Figueroa because Figueroa, I think, will see everything coming. And it's the type of fight that's made for Figueroa. You know, I think his come forward style and all this, I think that's tailor made for him. You know, I'm like, okay, this is like tailor made for him, this style. So with that, I think that they're going to be okay. Like, I figure that they got it. I'm like, okay, he's going to be all right. So I think Figueroa would definitely win that fight. Molina, I don't think Molina's going to win. I think that's kind of a blowout. And I'm just really upset, though, that they're putting this on pay-per-view for the money that they are. That's the one thing. And I'm like, look, I love Andy Ruiz as a fighter, but this is another one of those fights where there's no way that this should be taking place the way it is, like on pay-per-view. And, like, the fact that I believe the Zone is going to have it, I hope. Now, is this going to be on the Zone?
Or... No. No, okay. Definitely not. They did take $25 off the price, but yeah, it should be a free spot.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
it is $25.
They did. It is $50. It is $49.95 or whatever. But so they know that they're like, hey, our bad. but yeah, it should be a main event on Fox. I think that would draw a lot of casual fight fans, no doubt. But like I was saying, yeah, if this was Luis Ortiz and Ruiz, well, then you got me sold 100% because then I like the action fights. The combination of action fights and then a legit main event, you got me sold. But, yeah, I can't overly talk it up when it's this main event.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is you got Anthony Joshua, you know, who just, you know, he looked terrible in that. He lost a lot of weight. People want to see what he looks like with Canelo's crew. And, you know, you got, you know, people that's on the undercard. You know, I know it's supposed to be a Mexican night. You know, you got in Carson, California. So, you know, when you got a all Mexican card out there, that's going to, you know, take off. But that's good for the gate. But watching it at home, I can't see a lot of people getting excited to pay $70 to see Andy Ruiz versus Chris Areola, who's supposed to be retired. You know, this guy retired, like, basically 2 years ago. Like, this was my last fight. It was my last go at it. You know, and he wasn't having a great career. Now, all of a sudden, here he is for another shot. It's like, without Heyman, you lose. Hell, what's his name? Gamboa is up for another title elimination fight. This is what I'm saying. You could lose in the Al Heyman world and still be right in the mix. So, Areola, who really hasn't done anything since, you know, every time he lost to what? That guy.
Yeah, it was that summer fight. It was like an August summer fight where they set the record for punches. But yeah, Koznowski. Yeah. That's what it was. Yep.
Yep.
But see, that's why I wish this was on Fox, because it would be it's a perfect Fox fight, because you're like, okay, cool, dude. Casuals will like this. But yeah, the co-features and the undercards really have to turn. to turn out, even to get the $50, even if it is $25 less.
Exactly. So when you see something like this, and then it comes to the forefront, usually you go to your senses hit and go, oh, okay, I get it now. So naturally you start feeling, you know, different about the situation, and you say, all right, I would like to see Ruiz in a meaningful fight or something that's moving him up the ladder, but this is a showcase fight, and you're charging people Mike Tyson pay-per-view money to watch Andy Ruiz beat up on Chris Areola. Now, Areola will throw some punches and everything else, which would probably get him knocked out by Ruiz. I have Ruiz winning by knockout in, like, I'd say about 9 rounds. I think Areola's going to get caught and probably be asleep and just, you know, his legs won't have it no more, you know. And then I'm like, okay, so what does this mean? He beat a guy that, you know, that was at the end of his rope, you know. So you could tell he's doing this because they cut a very sizable check, you know. So I, to me, I'm just not excited as much to watch this bout. And
yeah,
I was like, well,
he's been out of the ring for like 17, I think it's like 16 or 17 months. I know he's been out of the ring. That's fine to come up against Areola, but like you said, on pay-per-view, it's not as, you know, it's not as tempting, let's say.
Yeah, Abel Ramos has a very good chance to pull off an upset. That would be an exciting fight because of the style with Figueroa Jr. He's not as active at the welterweight. You know, with throwing punches, he's not really that active. But his boxing ability, I think he'll set Abel Ramos up for some shots. Now, Jesus Ramos, now he's going to just destroy Molina. I mean, Javier Molina, I think he's going to walk straight through him. I think that's going to be easy. Dakota fight, Bandura is going to definitely set him up completely and then just rampage him, but I think he's going to get a good fight with Cotto. I think Cotto put up a good fight. Like, it's a decent card, but this is a card that should be on, like, Fox. You know, it's like, it's a great card that you would, but this is not a pay-per-view card. This is not $50. That's the only thing that I would tell people is, like, if this came on cable, like, the next week, you'll probably like the fight. You'll sit there, you can watch the fight. You'll be entertained.
Yeah. Well, definitely it'd be entertaining, but yeah. It's
for $50, you know, right. I don't know if it's the casual is going to pay $50 to even pay to watch this. And when they was at 70, I'm like, that's just insane. Now I'm like, now they're really going insane. Because I'm like, now you definitely, you know, been cut out a lot of your revenue. And I'm quite sure they saw the returns of the pay-per-view and said, oh, my God, no one's buying it at all. I'm like, why would they? You've been sticking them with these terrible pay-per-views for all of 2020. We understand that boxing had to survive, and in order to make some of these cards, you know, you had to put this together, and the people supported it. It's like, you know, we're going to go out and buy it, you know, because we know what was going on at the time. But I'm like, I'm not going to spend $70 to see the Charles just beat nobody. I can't do it.
Well, and we've had disagreements about that one because I don't think they beat nobodies in those fights. But,
I think, what's his name, did.
Jacob's not a nobody to me.
Exactly. I'll give you that one. That was a real fight for him. Dervinchenko was the first middleweight fight he's had since being at. He hasn't fought anyone
at 160. Yeah.
Yeah, that was his. That was, and now he's gonna go right back to not fighting anyone.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, I got one fight in, and you know he faded badly in that fight too, and was about to lose. That the fight kept going on. Dervinchenko was coming on, but that was Jamal, and Jermell, I mean, I think he has a decent fight coming up that I think I can get, you know, say, okay, you got a fight, but Who did he
fight? That Castaño fight's pretty good. I mean, Castaño,
yeah,
I thought he beat Lara.
Castaño fight is his first real fight since he had Tony Harrison. And he had this, the last fight he had, that was a tune-up. That was a tune-up. I'm like, there was no reason for you to be in there with that guy. They only fought Tony Harrison again is because he lost.
Well, I mean, besides the belts, I mean, he had all the a bunch of belts. That's why they fought, you know, because of J-Rock.
He didn't.
J-Rock lost him.
Jermell Charlo has not fought Laura. He has not fought. He's not fought. He hasn't even fought J-Rock.
You got to admit, though, I mean, J-Rock and Rosario fought, and Rosario knocked him out. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right. So
he's not
going to
fight
him back. Right, I'll give him that, but he wasn't going to do that anyway. That's just how he moved. And the fact is, he never fought Laura. He never fought him. He never fought it's another fighter there that he never fought. And he was trying to say he was the best at, you know, I'm number one. I got all the belts. But I'm like, you didn't beat Hurd. Jared Hurd. And Jared Hurd had beaten three guys he had never beat in 1 year. I'm like, he beat Laura. He beat Tony Harrison. And I'm like, he was beating guys, you know, Jared Hurd. So I'm like, you haven't even fought Jared Hurd. J-Rock had to beat him. And then you still didn't fight Jared Hurd. In no way, shape, or form, he should be fighting Jared Hurd. Why is he not fighting?
I would like to see that fight, but Hurd hasn't fought anybody, though, in the last couple of years that makes any kind of, you know.
He was supposed to
he's
go
been working away. On his.
No, yeah, but that was the fight that was going to bring him out. And they kept selling it and promoting it and kept selling Canelo. And everybody's on the internet fighting and saying they're fighting someone and they're not.
Speaking
and
of which,
Ryan Garcia,
that's a perfect segue because
what
you mentioned Ryan Garcia, we also have heard Bob Arum recently say, you know, it's been radio silence. There was a lot of talk, but we haven't had anything actually sent. It's like a couple of weeks past the quote-unquote deadline, the month deadline to finally get these site fees figured out. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of talk about fights, but some of the big fights that the casuals want to see haven't cemented all the way. What do you think about Eddie Hearn every which way talking about it, but then he's like, well, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to talk. Is he just trying to make it so Anthony Joshua sees that he's working hard for the fight, but they're really not going to fight till later this year? It's just kind of like, just make the fight and at some point for the next couple of weeks, just don't talk about it in an interview and then announce it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that is the best way to do it, what you just said, but you're looking at a situation where Eddie Hearn is out here trying to sell other fights. He's trying to get other people to stay glued to the zone. They're going to talk about it more. So, like, when they prematurely went out and said this fight is all but done, and I talked to Bob Arum, he said, we have no comment on this. He's like, nothing whatsoever. He said, until this thing is, you know, I have no paperwork, nothing. This is not a done deal. You didn't hear anything from us. Top Rank is not making a statement. I'll let you know when it's done. I said, oh, okay. Because I'm like, well, this news is breaking like this fight is done. And I'm like, it's done.
Right.
I mean, it was a shock to me. And I talked to Bob Arum. That was exactly what he told me. He said, no, it's not. But we'll let them, you know, we're going to stay quiet and we're not saying anything on this side. But they're talking and we're not talking. So that should tell you something that, you know,
especially with Bob.
Because
Bob likes to talk about it too, not to this level, you know, if it's not real or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
man. It's...
That was his take on it. And you're looking at all these people from Devin Haney to, you know, Ryan Garcia. Now the fight he claimed that he was trying to have is not happening, you know. So now people are like, hey, what's going on here? You know, I thought we had a fight. Like, where's the fight? Like, they don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, A lot of us don't get it. Like, what is going on here? So when you have all these
talking
things
about health and well-being.
Yeah, health and well-being. It's like, no, we want to get as many people we can get in to watch this and put it in the U.K. And in the U.K. haven't really approved a facility that they can go ahead, like putting it in the arena and sell it out and having the number of people that they want in there for it. So that's been the holdup. Eddie is just like, well, first we had to approve them. Now they're like, well, we're going to have a lot of people vaccinated, and we just got to be patient. We can't put the fight on right away, and then we missed out on this much money. And we've agreed on basically a two-fight deal after this. It's going to be an agreed-on trilogy. So that's what they were agreeing to in principle, and because of the way the times are now, you know, things are a mess. You know, you're not seeing the right people fight each other. You're not seeing guys fight each other at all. Sometimes it's just getting out of hand completely. So it has definitely rampaged a lot of different formats. Like, a lot of people are just exhausted with boxing. And now UFC has become a lot of their outlet because they consistently have cards. It don't matter if they're successful or unsuccessful, they consistently have a card. They put out the card, and the card happens. They're only one company, though, so they don't have to answer to anybody. They don't have to work with another promotional company. They can just make the fight. And this is what helps their sport. And when you can consistently just keep making your card and keep moving on a schedule, then, you know, people understand it. It could flow with it better. It makes more sense. But now, since they see all this and fans get all excited about it and they think the fight is happening, because that's what happened with the casual, they hear you talking about it. This doesn't help
you.
And this is what younger fighters don't understand. This does not help you. Like, for Ryan Garcia, he's like, yeah, they know my name because I'm out there. It hurts you because the casual fan look at it as if you're ducking. Like, you're not fighting. Like, oh, this guy's just ducking people. So now, yeah, he was supposed to fight Manny Pacquiao. Then he pulled in, something happened. He pulled out, he ducked Manny Pacquiao. Then he was set up to fight this guy. Then he just pulled out of this fight. And then everyone's talking, but no one's fighting. All these young kids, man, all these young fighters, they're all on social media and they're talking and they don't realize they're doing more harm than good. And it's hard to make fights now. You know, Terrence Crawford was supposed to be fighting Pacquiao. Now Al Haymon is trying to get Errol and Manny back in the talk. And I'm like, Pacquiao's not going to fight Errol. You don't have enough money to pay Manny for that fight. You know, it's just not going to happen. I was like, but if they want to intervene and do that, that's on them. But I just can't see. I can't see for the light of day why they would, you know, be a party to that. Because, I mean, that only helps Errol. He's too big for Manny. I mean, Manny could hit him and hurt him, possibly, you know, in the fight. Manny does have power. But Errol's a big guy that comes forward that, you know, a different type of fight than what it would be with Crawford. And that, and to the Crawford fight makes more sense. You know, it's like the old face of Top Rank and the new face. It's like passing a torch. You know, like, will the old lion be too much for the young lion? Or, you know, has Terrence Crawford ascended to the position where... So the storyline makes more sense, and it would build up the fight with Errol even more. You know, and so it, to me, it only makes sense. You know, but I know for
Both Crawford and Spence want it because it's another name, boost them up. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I don't think you know.
I
really don't see either one of them. I think it's going to be Mikey Garcia still.
I hope it's Mikey. But
I think it's Mikey.
You know,
I think it's going to be Mikey.
Yeah, because that's a, for Manny, that's an easier fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a winnable fight, and you're going to make some money. And the thing about it is Mikey's game. Mikey's going to be good game. He's going to box. I don't think Manny knocks him out. I think he gets his attention a little bit. But I think he can do enough to possibly win, or Mikey can win. But it's an engaging fight. You know, you never know how this fight is going to go. I don't think Mikey has enough experience at this level or when it's, like, big to be able to, you know, he's a guy to me that seems like he waits for things, waits for openings, and Manny can't do that. You fight Manny like that, he'll knock you out. You know, you can't fight him conventionally the way you've been trained. You have to make an adjustment to Manny Pacquiao because Manny doesn't fight a conventional style. So that fight will be, the speed will be turned up very early on Mike, and Mikey will have to adjust to that. Manny will turn it up on him early to see how he deals with the pressure and see, you know, it'll take you about 4 or 5 rounds to realize what Manny's going to do for the rest of the fight. And he's not the Manny of Young. The Manny of Young would have probably blew him out in 3 rounds, like Keith Thurman would have been probably out of there. But it's a different type of fight, you know, and I haven't seen Manny really in a ring in about a year.
It's going to be on. By the time he fights, it'll be 2 years.
Yeah.
At least Mikey got a fight in last year. But yeah. That's another thing. And then May 2022 is that month of May is when he has to do the politics stuff. If he's actually going to do it this run to be president, that's the month of May, next year May. So whether it's one fight or two fights, we'll see. One thing we do know, now it's official, Floyd Mayweather is fighting Logan Paul. It sounds like Jean Pascal and Badu Jack is on the co-feature. That's going to be June 6th in Miami.
Yeah. Yep, I'm aware of that. So this is going to be they wanted to make sure they were outside of the date, the fight date of all the Fox cards. That's one of the things that pushed it back. Society had to go somewhere, which I knew they were going to be in Florida. They were looking at a facility that they could have it at, you know, where, you know, it's open. They can have people come in. Miami is going to be pretty much open. So they're going to have a certain amount of people in there. But, you know, the restrictions that they had for coronavirus in February wasn't where it needed to be. So they couldn't have the fight, and they had to push it down. So what they want to do is have these series of events that was supposed to happen, like, in different countries. But because of COVID, they're going to end up, like, sponsoring it and putting it here and putting it on pay-per-view and all of these different things to make it affordable for everybody to see it. But I think Triller is going to put it out. Did they say they're going to put it on Triller yet?
No. They say it's
okay.
It's actually that other car that Fanmio or Fanmio. And Showtime in Mayweather Promotions. So Showtime's dipping in. Yep.
Oh, that was great. Way to negotiate that. That was such a great negotiating point. The actual threat to go to Triller, to have Triller promote the fight. I was like, wow, I wonder how Showtime would feel about that. So I was wondering when they was it going to put Showtime in it, because Showtime has a partnership with Floyd Mayweather, so, and, you know, Al Haymon basically runs Showtime Boxing, so this is pretty interesting. So, yeah, I knew Showtime was going to find a way to get money, because they're like, look, we put a lot of your cards on and it did nothing for us. We're making big promotional pushes, guys like the Charlo brothers. Now my thing with them is, like, I'm totally done with my thing with them, you know, my dislike. they did do right by Coach Knight. They hired him, or he's working at Jermell Charles gym as a coach, which I felt that was right, and I'm glad they did do that. They did go back and, you know, I guess they found out, they had a conversation, they mended their issues, and, you know, to see Coach Knight in there working with the kids, that to me was like, that was enough for me. I can let go any type of upsetness I ever said. So now everything is purely a boxing standpoint when it comes to that. Now, boxing-wise, they're just athletic. They're like the LeBron James of boxing. They just have athleticism, and I don't see – I've bet all my money on Chisen to win. Like, I think he could beat Jermell Charlo, period. So
it's going to be a good fight, man. Good stylistic too.
Because
Castaño comes. Yep.
He beat Laura.
Yeah, I agree.
And they gave him the draw. So my thing is, everybody thought Laura was going to be too experienced, and Laura could not get by this guy. I said, oh man, this guy is for real. You know, like, he really brought it to Laura. And I'm like, man, I've never saw the Charlos have success on Laura. You know, they were younger then, but still, Laura used them as sparring partners. And that's exactly what they were. He used them to get in shape and get ready for fights. And he just matadored them like children. So, and Tony Harrison, speaking with Tony Harrison, you know, when I was speaking with him, and he told me, he said, you know, this is the bottom truth about all of this. These guys fight like their first day in the gym. He said, that's how they fight. Like they got a ball fist. And he said, I've seen guys like Charlo. And he said, the fight is over. I'm not promoting the fight or anything. He said, I'm being honest 100%. I have seen guys like him from day one for years. That was in the gym. He said, there's nothing really special, no setup, no trap, nothing. It's all come forward. They don't know how to fight going backwards. They don't know how to use their angles and leverage and change the look. They can't. They have no training for that. They've only been trained to be strong and come forward. He said if they fight anyone that's like a veteran or a pro, he said Canelo would hurt them. He said, I know it, because Canelo knows how to set traps. He knows how to – Canelo would hurt them. He said, that would be a cash-out fight for them. So, and he said, their confidence could be taken, you know, because they're young. They've never really been in these situations. He's like, they're not what you think they are. He said, their confidence can be taken from them. And they can get knocked off their game. So, I believe them. So I'm like, I'm
well, just like Tony Harrison. I mean, he got knocked off his game. He got knocked out. He fought a different way in the first fight than he did the second fight. Some of that was getting knocked down early, trying to get back in the fight. But.
Yeah, and he was winning that fight. And then on the scorecards, they had him lopsidedly losing. And that was going to blow everybody away because he was winning this fight going away. And until he got caught, and then, of course, he had the water bottle incident in the corner. So we're never going to know the answer to that, to where I interviewed the commission, and they're saying that they might have to change their rule because of what happened there. And I'm like, you don't think that was a conflict of interest for you to tell one corner something and not inform the other corner? I'm like, where does this make sense? Like, everything he was saying was like it was programmed to say one thing that was he supposed to deliver to the media. And because was never supposed to do an interview. He was running from me, like running from the hills, and I wouldn't let him get away. I wouldn't let him get away. So he called me back once he was given what his line he was supposed to give. And he kept repeating it. I just want to repeat, Jermell Charlo did nothing illegal that night. I mean, like, how you weren't even there. You're deputy commissioner. I'm quite sure he's not going to say he screwed up that night.
Well, and it didn't show up on the test post-fight either. We should say that.
Yeah, but then again, if you just take a boot.
Because if you're going to put something in your body, you know, there's a good chance that night it's going to show in your pee. I mean, even the good stuff is like 5-7 hours to get in and out
well,
of your body.
Well, you got to understand, exactly, you're talking urine. Like, this, it could be something that showed up, like a testosterone boost. Like, you could take a 500-hour energy boost. And
that'll show up, though. That'll show up in that test.
Well, it depends on what you take. Like, they got a boost that goes out. It could go out with your water. If you dilute yourself with water, as you saw in the fight, he took it in rounds. They switched the bottles from, like, rounds 4, 5, and 6, and then they went back to the water bottle. I mean, to regular water. So in the middle of the fight is when they switched to that Gatorade bottle. Then they went back to the water. Like, what was the point of this water bottle? You started off with the regular bottles. You got 30 bottles of water in your corner. You're not going to run out of 30 bottles of water. And the trainer who gives you your water didn't give you your water. It was your uncle who was controlling the Gatorade bottle, as if Derrick James saying, I don't want no part of that. Okay, something comes up, no one can say, I touched that bottle. Now, that's very strange to me. That is a very strange scenario. Now, I can see if you was like, okay, the fighter is just like, okay, I don't like getting water through the regular bottle and all of, you
well,
know, let me go through the water.
Well, they did say that spray bottle, where you can just spray instead of, you know.
Right, it's fine, yeah, right. You switch to the spray bottle. I would have had no question had they used that for the duration of the fight.
Right.
They didn't do that. They only used it to, like, the 7th or 8th round, and then they switched and went back to regular water. And this was noticed by the fighter who said, man, he just got, because he's like, I felt this guy fading in the fight. He was fading. And then all of a sudden, he's coming out with more energy. And it just wasn't making sense to me. And I was like, man, okay, this guy's really got more energy now. And he's like, if you don't believe me, anybody go back and watch that fight. This guy was fading badly in 6th round because he was swinging all out trying to finish with big shots. And his energy was gone. And I was like zapping him with the jab. And I was bringing it to him. He said, all of a sudden, after like 6, 7 rounds, he just starts stepping it up with energy. And I'm like, where is he getting this energy from? Like, where is this coming from? He said, then when I'm looking at the fight again, I'm looking at the corner and he sees it. And he's like, why are they switching bottles in the corner? So,
right.
And then his corner is not informed that they've been approved, apparently, to use this water bottle. And they said, our guys inspected it, and it was nothing but water and that contained.
Right.
You don't know. It could be anything because it doesn't make sense because they went back to the water. If they would
have
stayed.
Right,
but
like I said, we do have to make it official, though. If you're saying something in the water, we've known caffeine and energy drinks have been taken right in front of people. And it's popped on the test. So we do have to make sure we clear that along with everything we're talking about. It didn't show up a couple – what would that have been, 2 hours later? So, I mean,
right, but then,
you know,
it
if it's going to get you
– up with caffeine. You know, like, oh, well, he did have a –
but that
would have
been illegal, though, because you can't have caffeine. That would have been illegal.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. It could have been something like sugar, like a high energy intake. Like, there's no ruling saying you can't have sugar in your system.
Sure.
So,
no, that's for sure. Like sugar
right. So your sugar intake could be high, and sugar is another form of energy. So it keeps you you know, energized. So you don't know, like they got these new B-blasts, which is now, like, considered illegal, but B-blasts give you a certain boost of energy. He only needed it for about 10, 15 minutes. So it gave him another shot of B-blast. Like, somebody was actually saying that's what it was. They're like, no, they gave him a B-blast. I'm like, I've never heard of a B-blast. And they're like, yeah, he's got a shot of B in his system.
Allegedly, we don't know that for a fact.
Allegedly. Yes. Let's go say that now.
But you're right, though.
And I won't be in there. Yeah.
There is stuff that gets in and out of your body that's not just sugar or not just what you're talking about. There is stuff that you can get in and out of your body. And to be fair, Tony Harrison's been knocked out 3 separate times late in fights, too. So I don't know. But either way, I think you did a good job following up on that story multiple times. So I like how you definitely got down to the root of it, because it had to be brought to light, the switch in the bottles. And, you know, there's plenty of commission stuff that people kind of scratch their head at when they actually hear it and go, really? Really? But any other items that you
called that guy and got him on the phone? That was the best win ever, is that I actually got that guy on a phone for an interview.
Yeah.
That was well done. Because he was avoiding me like the plague.
Well, I'm sure he didn't want to. A lot of those commissions, like you said, don't want to talk about anything. They barely even want to talk about it in a high-profile fight when there's a horrible scorecard. Oh, well, we're gonna sit her down or sit him down and go through the rounds, and nothing ever happens, you know?
Right.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
Any other items that you want to get to at all, sir?
Oh, no, that was it. That was mainly it so far. For the day, we'll save everything for next week when we do this post fight.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking time out. You have yourself a good night, sir.
You too. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Take it easy. Carcino for Life. Everybody knows the YouTube channel, but just in case you haven't heard about it, check it out. He's also got a Patreon. Sign up for that. What else? Oh, you know what? Just to kind of go a little further with that, that article, just to read some quotes about Arum in the radio silence. This one was on Boxing Scene. He even said, you know, maybe we'll, and we've heard this a couple times, actually, maybe we'll breathe some life into Wilder, and Fury will fight Wilder, and Joshua will fight his mandatory, which a lot of people think may happen with Usyk, and then we'll revisit it, you know? But Arum had said that he was, like, bullish, you know, on it, like, not long ago, and they were talking, you know, in Saudi Arabia and whatnot to a group there, but now he said Eddie Hearn is busy trying to sell the London Bridge. That's such a Bob Arum line. He says, let me tell you, last time I talked to Eddie was early last week. This was, I think, two days ago. And he said, we're going to have everything signed agreement. It's the Saudis in 24 hours. And, you know, he's a little late. Wouldn't you be pessimistic if you hadn't heard from him or anybody? You know, he's the promoter, Frank Warren. We keep hearing all this stuff through the media. They're talking about he secured a $150 million, you know, site fee. But then even Eddie said, well, hold on. I don't want to talk specifics. I don't want to talk about this deal. But then he's out there talking about the deal all the time. He did reiterate Hearn that July 24th, July 31st, and August 7th is dates he's, you know, but, you know, I don't know. It's, who knows, man? I mean, you know, it's just frustrating. Like I said, the guy talks so much about it, but then he doesn't want to talk about it. You know, it's just kind of funky. But yeah, there was on ESPN, Kriegel, I think Coppinger said this too, but Kriegel was talking about $150 million, 75 each. And it's like, all right, well, if it's even close to that number, what the hell are you guys waiting on? You know what I mean? Like, but Hearn said Kriegel's report is fake news and he's not going to discuss the details of the fight publicly. So it's like, oh, so you're not going to fight, you're not going to do the details, huh? Okay, gotcha. So it is, it just, it's frustrating, like I said, about a month ago or whatever, they were talking it up and everything's, you know, it's going to happen. And then it was just like, it still hasn't happened. So I don't know, man. It's like I said, it's really the casuals. I mean, we get frustrated as hell, but we're used to boxing, you know, in some of the stuff. But man, sometimes some of this is just like, dude, stop talking about it. It makes it worse. You know, I had a couple casual fans that saw it on the bottom line on ESPN, and a couple of sports, not just Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, but Jalen and Jacoby. I heard it on there. I heard it on the radio, you know. So, like, all right, dude, this fight's happening. And then it was like, no, it's not happening, you know. Speaking of a fight not happening, though, we talked about Ryan Garcia pulling out for health and well-being. I know this news may disappoint some of my fans, but I am announcing that I am withdrawing from July 9th fight. At this time, it's important to manage my health and well-being. I decided to take some time off to focus on becoming a stronger version of myself. I hope to be back soon and looking forward to it. You know, this really sucks for Javier Fortuna, to be honest with you, because if you look at, I mean, he had a fight with Devin Haney. He had a fight with Campbell. He had a fight with Linares. I mean, all these fights were going to happen, and then they just didn't. And now this one, he's out. So, I mean, four different fights I do feel for him as well. The Garcia thing, you know, Steve Kim and Mario Lopez were trying to say on their show that it was actually the venue going to be in that. I think Navarrete, I could be wrong. I think it was Navarrete. Maybe it was Ramirez. But remember that newer soccer stadium in L.A.? They had a card. There wasn't many people there, but they had a card at that venue. I think it was Navarrete. And supposedly that fight was going to take place in this stadium. It's like a, I think it's more of a smaller stadium right there because, you know, it fits. I don't know how much it fits, but I know there was one by the old StubHub that fit like 25,000 or something like that because Oscar De La Hoya fought Stevie Forbes there. So they were trying to say that he didn't want to fight outdoors. And he said like an outdoor fight with somebody they mentioned. I forgot who it was. He said that he didn't like fighting outdoors. He didn't like the heat. And so they were at a standstill over that. And so I don't know if that's truth. You know, we don't know. At this point, he's not in a mental facility or, you know, maybe he's on vacation. It seems like he's on vacation now. Maybe he just needed to shut it down. It's tough to say. I mean, he could shut it down for a week or two and start camp and still make his fight. But maybe he's having some problems. Some people think it's legit mental problems and he just needs to shut the world off for a couple weeks and he'll be fine. Some people think that something happened in his life and he's trying to get in front of it. You know, he has been talking about, you know, God and Jesus and religion a lot on his channel. And sometimes when you do something where you feel like maybe you let yourself down or your fans down, you find something that you can turn to help you out. And religion's done that for plenty of people. Sure, there's plenty of negative when it comes to religion, obviously, too. I mean, we've fought a lot of wars over it. And, you know, some people try to make laws with it, you know, and all that. But done a lot of good for a lot of people out there. I think people forget that, too, no matter if you're religious or not or whatever religion you are, or, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It's tough to say, man. It's really tough to say. Him and Golden Boy have had issues. Golden Boy clearly you know, have not necessarily dealt with it publicly well, their issues. I mean, they were even saying he was ducking Duno and then he knocked him right out, you know. So I really don't know. It does sound like they gave away their, you know, for this contract that got re-upped to another contract, and there's, you know, that you can, it's not like he has a minimum that's bigger now, but it can fluctuate, obviously. But from the sounds of it, I've heard a couple people say this now, that he gave away the venue rights to where he doesn't have a say in the venue. So maybe there's an issue there. Maybe he is just having some issues. Who knows? I'm not going to go too far on that because, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know. Speaking of some fights, Emmanuel Navarrete and Yoet Gonzalez is in a going to be, it sounds like they're going to fight. Sounds like they're going to fight because he's going, the president for the WBO, which obviously we know WBO is tight with Top Rank. You know, they say, hey, they preferred, this is what Bob Arum said, they preferred that he would, Navarrete would fight against his mandatory, Yoet Gonzalez. So Yoet Gonzalez is going to get another title shot. And then, because I thought he was going to go to Australia, because there is a fight for him in Australia that they're willing to pay a nice amount for him, but I guess they're going to wait on that because they still want to make sure that there's not going to be a 14-day quarantine out of nowhere. So, and that's that Brock Jarvis, 18-0 young fighter who hasn't fought anybody. I thought he was going to fight him next, but it looks like this fight, Yoet Gonzalez, who did fight for the WBA featherweight, the same belt for Stevenson, really didn't win a round. I don't know. Who did he beat to get? Didn't he beat someone this summer, didn't he? So it looks like it's going to be Navarrete and Gonzalez, and then Navarrete, at least he's staying busy this year, but the other guy, the Australian dude, I get it. It's money, but that fight seems like a complete pushover. And Arnold Vegafria, a business manager, quote-unquote, for Pacquiao, he put out Dubai this year, Pacquiao Garcia, either July, between July and August. So that's one that we're talking about. Real quick here, Triller has he's filed a lawsuit against 12 websites for allegedly pirating their pay-per-view. They pirated it. It's 100 unnamed parties, 10 specific outlets, filmdaily.com, crackstreamslive.com. It's a $100 million lawsuit, and they're saying, you know, we lost out on like $100 million. You know, they were saying upwards of 2 million people, or it says unique viewers, which is always a weird way to put it. But it sounds like they're saying, hey, we missed out on all this money. And I get it. I mean, if 2 million people were streaming it, you didn't really lose out on that money, though, because if they weren't going to, you know, if they're streaming it, they're not going to pay for it, you know, more than likely. But, yeah, we'll see where that lawsuit goes. But that's pretty early in the game. They do have a lot of money behind them, so we'll see where this one goes. But that's pretty intense, pretty quickly. We do have a couple of you know, current fight news updates that we'll talk about here soon, and then also Oscar Valdez, who he's going to fight. Some other stuff. We'll close the show like we normally do with our boxing Twitter segment, where we talk, you know, when we cover some tweets that are just great tweets that are like, yes, I'm going to retweet that. Or, you know, fanboy funny, like desperate tweets, or sometimes the media acting like fanboys. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Portland onto the show. It's a big, I mean, we're coming off Navarrete and a variety of Mexicanos. And this weekend, heavy on the Mexican fighters going head-to-head on that Fox pay-per-view card. 503 Portland, what's going on, man? How the hell are you?
Mexicanos al grito de guerra, el acero apresta y el rigor, y retiembla en sus centros la tierra al sonoro rugir del cañón.
Yo, hey, yo, what up, Chris? I'm doing good, bro, here in beautiful sunny Oregon, man. It's been, the weather's been unbelievable here, man, like sunny pretty much this whole month. You can't hate on that, man. But how you doing, Chris? How's everything going? Everything going, brother?
It's going good, man. It's going really good. We've been kind of up and down on weather, but it's supposed to hit the 70s and 80s this weekend. So I'm good, man.
Nice, man. Hell yeah, man. Shit, I can't wait for the summer, man. It's coming up. It seems like it's already here, but I mean, we're still in April, so but we're about to finish it, man. And what a weekend to begin back to back. I would say a back to back. You know, starting with what's the name? Fucking Areola. Fuck, I forget his name. Fucking Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz for this. You know, the beginning for Cinco de Mayo weekend. I think, you know, and then you got Canelo this next weekend. So it's gonna be, I think, you know, Cinco de Mayo and you know, Mexican celebrations. Man, this shit came early, bro. So you know, man, you know me, Chris. I'm gonna buy this pay per view, man. This one's for us, man. And I'm just supporting it, man, just like I supported the Clarissa Shields fight. You know what I mean? It's straight boxing, man. So it's like, you know what I mean? I'm going to do it. And shout out to your friend, Chris. You're talking about that he's going to pay for it and everything, man. I thought, you know, that's pretty cool, especially when you have to watch it after 11 p.m. That seems really late and stuff. So, you know, shout out to you guys, man. And seems like you guys have, you were saying that he's a Ruiz fan. So, you know, shout out to him, man. And but yeah, man, this one should be good. You know, Omar Figueroa's on the undercard. But like, hold on. Let me, before we get to that, let me recap this last the top rank this last weekend. I thought Berlanga.
Yeah.
You know, they were talking about the KO streak, and you know, it ended this weekend, So, but you know, I thought the kid looked good. You know, he did. You know, he had to do. In all honesty, I haven't really kept up too much to him about him, but I heard. He's one of the guys calling out Canelo at a young age and talking about, I believe he was talking about, like, he wants to make a super fight, you know, Puerto Rico, Mexico. You know, that'd be cool if they, you know, they do that one day, you know what I mean? So shout out to him. He's doing good, you know what I mean? For a guy that's, low on the, what was this, an eight-rounder that he went through, I thought that was pretty cool to be televised and being out there, you know what I mean? I thought that's pretty dope. So shout out to him, and, you know, shout out to Puerto Rico. Hopefully, this one's good, you know what I mean? So because I like the rivalry, man, you know what I mean? I'm Mexican. I love that shit. So, and speaking of another rivalry, the rivalry of the night, man, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Navarrete Diaz, man, I got to, you know, dude, this one, the sick. I was very excited for this one. You already know, Chris, Mexico all day, Navarrete. I thought he did good. He looked good, especially with that big-ass, long-ass uppercut. Man, let me tell you something about this. This guy is, man, he's got such a reach advantage against most of these fighters and that power.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to put him away in the corner stopped it in the 12th. But, I mean, I thought, you know, shout out to Diaz, because I thought, you know, he should have been put away earlier. So, but yeah, I thought, you know, the fight was beautiful. It had a crowd. It looked good, and everything was fine, man. So I thought it was dope for the night. You know what I mean, for Mexico Puerto Rico rivalry. So I want to shout out to that. And that was just a good card. You know, in general, you know what I mean, because it just delivered, in my opinion. So
dude, that
Ortiz
fight on the ESPN Plus portion. Adorno and Ortiz, that was a bomb fight too. That's one of the best fights of the year.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch that one, but I did get to watch most of it, like the main card. So I'll definitely go back on the replay to check that one out. And let me talk about that the freak show that happened about 2 weeks ago. Jake Paul, Askren. I just wanted to comment on real fast. I thought, you know me, Chris, I was excited for it. I thought it was kind of a, you know, obviously it's a circus show, but I thought it captured that fight, you know, that fight kind of hype to it. So, I was going to buy it until I saw the weigh-ins, until I saw that dude come in, the pot belly and all that shit, bro.
I'm in better shape than that dude. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, I could kind of save my money this weekend. It's cool, you know what I mean? And thank God I did, too, because I hate, in all honesty, man, I do. I hate those first rounders in everything, even in boxing and, like, MMA. I just hate first rounders. Anything that ends in the first round, I just hate the most, just because it's just terrible, just because, I don't know, that's
especially
just my opinion about everything. That's right.
Especially
like,
when
it's quick. I
hate
that.
You just feel gypped.
Especially this one, even though you know, people have, think it's controversy because of the stoppage, and you know, I thought Askren did look like he wanted to you know, continue, but I thought the fault goes to the referee just because he didn't give him a you know, a chance to put, you know, a fighter's chance. He kind of did it, you know, it was in Atlanta, I believe, you know, who knows how good the commission's out there. And I, you know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, the guy was going to get knocked out 100%, you know, if it did continue. But, you know, shout out to both of them for, you know, getting the money and getting this hype over, getting a lot of attention. You know what I mean? Like, damn, this dude's got the Mayweather effect now. Like, people want to buy his pay-per-views or, you know, watch him to lose, and people are going to wait to see the, you know, to wait to see that. So, and pay to see that. So, you know what I mean? And it looks like he's taking care of these, like, MMA dudes. So, you know, we'll see until he takes care of a real boxer, or, like, let's see when he fights a real boxer. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, that's still, I don't know. You know, who knows when that's going to happen. But if he's just going to knock out all these MMA dudes out, you know what I mean? I'm all for it. You know, shout out to the kids. So, but yeah, man. But also, man, and let me talk about Lara Cornflake, man, LaManna. You know, this one you guys were talking about earlier. So this is going to be at middleweight. I think this is pretty cool for Lara, man. Let's see what this is about. Cornflake doesn't seem to have too much knockout power. But this is a new weight class. Anything could change, man. And Lara, I believe, is up there in age. I don't know exactly, but I want to say 37. I want to guess 36, 37. And but yeah, man, this one should be fun. And I think this opens up to the pay-per-view card. So you know, this should be a good fight leading to probably get the boxing fans or the casual fans to try to, you know, hopefully they could, you know, entice them to buy that pay-per-view is what I'm trying to say. So the shout out to the Cornflake, LaManna, I believe.
There's a fight before it, too, because that's a double header. So there's a good fight before it. Maybe check that out.
Okay, definitely. And also, man, you know, on the main card, right, Ruiz Areola, you know, this one, you know, let's talk about the Areola fight, Ruiz fight. I think Ruiz is obviously going to get the win. Hopefully Areola has some sort of puncher's chance where he just changes the game. I'm really rooting for Areola in this one. To me, there's no loser. Obviously, this is Mexico versus Mexico. You know, both Mexican-Americans. But they got that Mexican blood in them. So, you know, this one should be fire for how long it lasts. Cause I don't think this one's going the distance. You know what I mean? With Areola, you know, and with his past performances, I think, you know, we all, Areola's, I hate to be harsh, but you know, his better times is behind him. And, you know, they had that little promo of, if you got to see it, Chris, on Fox, I believe. And, he was talking about how he wanted to be the first Mexican, to capture those heavyweight belts, and Ruiz got it. You know what I mean? That's how long ago it was, man. Like, he's been talking about this. So, shout out to the guy. If he pulls this off, Areola, man, shout out to you. You know what I mean? You did it for Mexico. I know you're going to put it all in. I think you're going to leave it all in this ring, I believe, man. It just seems like the interviews you've been given, just seem like you're ready for this shit, man. So, cause this is kind of your definitely Areola's last opportunity, and what a big opportunity for the kid. I mean, obviously people are going to disagree, you know, why is Andy really fighting this? You know, obviously Chris, you wanted the, Ortiz fight. And obviously, you know, I would agree with you 100%, but, you know, this one's for the Mexicanos, man. This is to get us warmed up for the Canelo, weekend. So, you know what I mean? So get, so you should be ready, definitely ready for this one, man. And then also too, man, the co-main, right? The co-main is Figueroa, and I do like this fight, man. And I think this is going to be probably the show stealer of the night. I would definitely tell casual fans to stay tuned to this one, because I think this one's going to be fire. You know what I mean? Because we all know how Figueroa fights, and I just think, you know, I believe Omar. He had that setback with what was a Cuban fighter. Damn, I forget his name. Cuban fighter, whatever. Right. And, but yeah, Ugas. Man, so, you know, hopefully, Ugas. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And but yeah, man, this one I definitely would tell the casual fans to stay tuned, and definitely you know, watch and stay tuned to this one. And I also too, if I could end it, you know, if I, you know, I was gonna say that, you know, Omar, don't miss his weigh-ins.
Yeah.
There might be surprises, so you know, just shout out to that. You know, shout out to the kid, man, and you know, shout out to the family, man. You know what I mean, Chris? You know what I mean? So, but also
yeah,
too,
don't
man,
miss weigh-ins. Don't miss any behind the scenes, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing of Omar Figueroa's part. Check that out. And but also and also too, if I could talk about the PBC, I love that the price is $49.95. I think this is definitely a doable for if you're a fan for boxing or combat sports or in MMA. I know MMA just had their last pay-per-view this last weekend, and you know what I mean. And most of them are you know, shout out to the MMA fans that do watch boxing. So I would definitely tell them to you know, this is a definitely set price and a good price for a pay-per-view, you know, for a PBC pay-per-view, you know what I mean? I'm just going to say that's a good price because usually they're like 75,
yeah.
You know, new pay-per-views for boxers.
Yep.
So, you know, a shout out to the PBC.
Right.
And, but as far as that, you know, Chris, I don't got too much to say. The big one, the big enchilada is, next week or, you know, the Canelo, Billy Joe Saunders, man, that's the huge one. That's when we celebrate. We celebrate huge. And I've been, you know, I've been watching the interviews. The leading Tyson, what Tyson's been saying about is the promoter Eddie Hearns, how they seem to be on one side, and you know, he's showing loyalty, you know, to Canelo. But hey, bro, you know, it's business, you know what I mean? So it's Eddie Hearns, he's about business, you know what it is. We all know this is the Canelo show, you know, he's the pound for pound king of boxing, and Mexico will always live. And but yo, Chris, thank you for having me on Viva Rope and Dope Radio, and Viva Mexico.
Have a good night, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Should be entertaining, that's for sure. I think a lot of those undercard fights are going to be entertaining. Like I said, I mean, I'm the type to let the action happen. Like, I'll give you the preview. I'll predict and stuff. I'll give my thoughts on it. But I always open, you know, I always leave the door open for a card to, like even the last 2 weeks, the cards have overachieved of what we thought they were on paper. So, stylistically, top to bottom, it's going to be an entertaining card. I happen to really like the undercard fights too. So, as I've said, if we can get, you know, a banger on that co-feature on Fox and then two out of the three, well, then you get to the main event and you're like, dude, I mean, I'm good. You know, like, we're good. So we'll see how that works out. I was talking about Oscar Valdez. Someone's asking, was it Robeson, I think is his name is. It's a fight that it's like likely for August or September, according to BoxingScene.com. Coppinger made a joke today. What an incredible way to keep momentum going for Oscar Valdez after a big win of his biggest one of the career. This is exactly what the fans are clamoring for, top rank, because Shakur is going against a fighter that's going to be basic and easy. And they have Herring, Valdez, Shakur, and so he's kind of giving them shit. But, yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I thought it was going to be Herring and Valdez. That's what I thought. That's what it really seemed like. So, to me, it's kind of like it is kind of a bummer. I mean, but it happens a lot in boxing. You know, Oscar Valdez coming off a highlight reel knockout. Whether it's a mandatory or a stay busy fight or because it sounds like this may, I don't know if it's a mandatory or not, or they're going to get it out of the way like it's a mandatory. That could be. Not totally sure. But it does sound like Oscar Valdez is going to, they're going to hype it up based off the amateurs, that this guy beat him in the amateurs, and it's a revenge type thing. But this guy really, you know, he had a really good pedigree, but he just hasn't done much as a pro. But it won't be the first guy to get a title shot that shouldn't be in a title shot. You know what I mean? I mean, we could sit there and make a long list of that. So I wouldn't get too bent out of shape. But I did think Oscar Valdez was lined up, not for Stevenson next, but for Herring. I thought Herring was going to drop his belt and take on Valdez. So, you know, coming off such a great win, you know, if they fight in September or if it's, what did I say, August? If he can get a fight. You know, it'd be nice if they gave him that December Heisman look at the end of the year, Oscar Valdez. That would be good, and put him in a big fight so he, you know, bookends the year with a great highlight, one of the best. I mean, if not the best knockout of the year so far. And then, you know, stay busy, gets another knockout on ESPN, and then another big fight maybe in December or early next year. You know, I think people will be willing to accept that, you know, Herring didn't happen or whatever. Jake Paul is in the news. He challenged Usman. He said, challenge accepted. If your boss, Dana, gives you permission to box me and make more money than you'll ever have, let me know. We can lace them up. I promise it will be your biggest payday. Jake Paul said that. There's also talk about Fury, and no, of course, not Tyson Fury, but Tommy Fury. This is Frank Warren. They were talking about the potential for Tommy Fury against Jake Paul, who obviously Tommy Fury didn't have a long amateur career or anything like that. So I don't think he did. So this is what he said. Frank Warren confirmed, this is IFL TV, confirmed this, that we want to make the fight. It's real easy. He takes 50. Tommy takes 50. Let's get it done, which, you know, I don't know about that. But I think it'd be a massive fight. This is what Jake Paul says about Tommy Fury. He fought scrubs to make himself look good. People will say that about me, but I fought guys with winning records. He talks about Gibb, but, you know, that's not really a winning record. At least Ben Askren did have that. But he said our teams are talking to try to figure something out, a 50-50 fight. I mean, if Tommy Fury thinks that's a 50-50 fight, I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. But we'll see. Maybe they're just talking and it's the start of the negotiations. I don't know. Boxing Twitter-wise, this is damage. Oh, this is for the DAZN. This is a tweet about the DAZN matchroom going to DAZN and taking it off more of a mainstream platform such as Sky Sports. He says, this is damaging to the sport in the UK. The Sky platform gets casual viewers in. The next AJ or even Kell Brook won't be able to be built via smaller platform or smaller broadcaster in the UK. And, you know, he makes a good point. But then again, like, they don't really have many younger fighters in real fights on Sky anymore. You know, they still have the next generation, and I know that gets good ratings for the most part. I've heard it got great ratings. But, you know, I don't know. I hear what he's saying. I do hear what he's saying. Dudes in the 40s were fighting bears in boxing rings. Stop with the takes that boxing is on life support because of certain antics. The sport has always been part circus. Exactly. You know, this whole thing about, you know, Jake Paul, here's another one. Jake Paul is not the cause of the problem in modern-day boxing. He basically, fans are mad at this dude, at Jake Paul, but they're obsessed with Errol Spence getting the bag on an unwarranted pay-per-view that nobody asked for while avoiding Terrence Crawford, or vice versa, are the hypocrites. And it's like, dude, Jake Paul gets attention because he has attention. He has a fan base that has nothing to do with boxing. Jake Paul was like, first of all, he was on Disney, the Disney Channel, which is obviously big amongst the super youth, right? But also, the guy's been, since, 10 years old, he said he's been doing YouTube channel? Like, dude, he's been putting, he put in a lot of work. And, you know, if boxers would do the crazy shit he did on YouTube, the media would be destroying him. But he did that years ago, so a lot of these media members don't even know how long he was on YouTube. You know, he has all these followers. He deserves credit for having all these. How a lot of pundits now are like, Jake Paul's smart, this, that, and the other, but then they were shitting on Floyd Mayweather. Oh, he's a joke. Oh, all he does is this. There's no substance. He just talks a bunch of shit. You know, this, that, and the third. But then when Jake Paul comes along and does it, now he's a brilliant genius. The thing is, Jake Paul, you know, nobody can be in boxing off of social media. Nobody's going to be as big as Jake Paul because they got to do like 10 years of work on YouTube or on Instagram just to catch up with him. You guys got to remember that. That's why Mike Tyson is one of the most well-known, if not the most well-known fighter. Or I'm sorry, person. He's literally one of the most well-known. I mean, who's more well-known around the world right now, living than Mike Tyson right now? I mean, Obama. There's some popular people out there, but if people know Trump, people know our presidents and stuff like that. I'm trying to think. Like, of course, like, I mean, some of these folks aren't alive anymore. Drake's a big deal and all that. But tell me from, like, age, from a teenage years to, like, 60 or 70 years old, how many people, I mean, everybody knows Tyson. So, like, that's why he's popular. There's no point in, you know, Jake Paul's popular because he earned it. Hulk Hogan, that's a good one. There you go, Hulk Hogan. He was on, you know, TV for a long-ass time. A lot of people know him. If Hogan, you know, we showed those ratings on Fox when they do celebrity. Dude, whether it's celebrity boxing, whether it's celebrity dancing, whether they're lip-syncing in a suit, celebrity sell shit, dude. So to sit there and blame it on boxing and blame it on Errol Spence because he fought someone he didn't like on pay-per-view, it's just silly, dude. It's just silly. This dude says, I think the PBC agenda is to keep the Charlos safe. The Charlos? They wouldn't want Andre anywhere near the Charlos, even for free. So even if Andre said, I'll fight him for free, they still wouldn't do it, which is a crock of shit because Showtime recently offered, as we know, and Andre is the one that said it. Andre's the one that said it on Maddox's show, which is so funny, but he had a one-fight offer, a one-off. He could have fight Charlo and then went to DAZN for more money per fight or taken a multi-fight deal with Charlo being first. So this whole thing of, oh, they don't want to – and he had a fight with Andre, the other Charlo, but he dipped on that one. So this stuff – but that's what – Eddie Hearn keeps talking about Andre to Charlo, but he doesn't take care of his own business on his own platform. This is Jim Karras Boxing. It's crazy that in 2021, Chisora is still relevant, let alone headlining a UK pay-per-view at 37 years old. He looked washed 5 years ago, and here we are in 2021. It's true. I mean, the guy has managed to just be good enough to hang around. You got to give him credit for that. This is Raging Babe. I never said too much about Ryan's pulling out of the fight because I think people read way too deep into his IG posts. Fighters have distraction, money problems, baby mama drama, weight issues, etc., and pull out of fights all the time. He wasn't checking into a mental facility, and that's a big difference. Demetrius Bivol went from headlining on HBO to appearing on Derek Chisora's undercard. Safe to say something hasn't gone right with his career. No kidding, Bivol was like a potential big deal not long ago, and then just kind of has fallen flat on its face. But you know what happens. Oh, what's up? That's Eddie's guy, wasn't he? Eddie had Bivol. Why didn't he get him fights, you know? Eddie's always talking about, we can't afford to have shit fights anymore. You know how many shit fights Andre and Golovkin's had on that platform? Like, come on, dude. Get over yourself. Eddie, enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll definitely be back next Tuesday. Peace. I'm out.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you